This week's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games. If you like paper cards, that's the place to get them. If you don't, try MTGO Academy for all your digital needs.
No. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What up, my little New Year's babies? I'm Kevin Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios.
And I'm the MTGO Fair.
And you're listening to Heavy Meta yet again this year for some reason.
Wait a minute. What do you mean yet again? It's for the first time this year. Get it right. Yeah.
You know what, Kevin?
What I meant was yet again for another year you're listening to fucking Heavy Meta.
You know what? Here's a trick question. How many years have we been casting?
Like 7.
Wrong. Well, actually, if you think about it, we started 2012, we did 2013, now we're 2014. So, 3 years.
Yeah, so totally casting for like 3 years now. We got this shit.
Oh, man, well. Math is not the boys' strong suit.
No. The only math we really know how to do is just how many ice cubes fit in a glass of Kraken.
In a glass. To still
that,
have
and how many packs you have per draft.
Yes. Oh, no, we don't know that shit. We just open the cards and crush. That's what we do.
That's right. Or get crushed. Either way.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, fucking Maddie. Oh, you son of a bitch. I'm still bitter about that fucking burn of a loss at the fucking Holiday Cube.
Oh, that was sweet. Yeah, we had good times, folks. Welcome to the new year. Obviously nothing too insane is going on here in the world of Magic.
Well, shit. There's got to be something cool. We haven't been on, like, we skipped a week, so there's got to be something cool that's happening.
Oh, there is. Well, apparently,
MTGO crashed again at some point for a short period.
That's nothing.
No, I know, but it's just one of those, yes, all the events must be ready and good to go, and then I log into Twitter for the first time the weekend just to see everybody bitching about crashing. I'm just like, I'll be turning Twitter back off and go back to bed.
There you go.
I mean, tonight we have a couple of topics I'll touch on, but first, we have I don't know what his official title is, Kevy. I think it's
fucking
just Sexiest
gorgeous,
Man.
Gorgeous
sexiest Man of the SVU. Yeah. I think his title is just Sexiest Man of SVU, right?
I like it. Yeah, I mean, so, of course, except for me, but, you know.
Whatever you gotta tell yourself, man.
Hey, man, that's right. It's not gay if I close my eyes. But we have the one and only Slick Jagger, and apparently we have a Motika on with us tonight as well, but I'm not sure he's technically capable of speaking with us.
The Blizzard is trying to hold us down here on the East Coast right now.
Yeah, Motika and Slick Jagger are fucking blizzarded in, and so they're just cuddling together for warmth and sharing a headset and a blanket or something.
Oh, yeah.
And a keg of homebrew, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's worth it. Oh, no, we got right now we went to the store and bought 2 4-packs of this Imperial IPA called Molotov Cocktail.
And I like it already.
It's 13%. And
nice.
It's a good snowed-in beer to have.
Nice.
Well, on that note, and I know I tweeted you the fucking picture of my little fucking Stone Brewery fucking thing I got for Christmas. So I'm getting like white girl wasted tonight. And
there
so
you go.
To start off, I'm drinking wine and vodka, like, you know, kind of like the Vegas situation or like your strong or the SVU cocktail situation. I'm like, wait, I don't have any fucking mixers. I got a bottle of wine. So I'm drinking wine and vodka. But then for when that's gone, I've got this fucking sublimely self-righteous ale that I'm going to check out in honor of you having you on the cast. So,
oh, yeah.
Sublimely
self-righteous is worth it.
Is it? Right on.
I see that a Viking has joined us. He's in a boat. He's sailing to the new land. Is that Motika's Skype picture there? That's awesome, dude. Is that what it is?
I was in Japan.
Oh, there you go. You're like Godzilla. That's sweet. So tonight we're gonna talk about a few things. Obviously we've got, I don't know, I guess the big news, which is kind of cool actually. I think I really like how Wizards did the New Year, or was it New Year or Christmas? I think it was New Year's. Christmas. They released the new, it was Christmas Day. Yeah, it was Christmas Day. They dropped the new Planeswalker, which is pretty sweet. If you haven't heard about her, then you don't play MTG and you shouldn't be listening to this cast. But, we got a new one. We got a new one. So we're all going to give our opinions on her because I think it's a very interesting one. I'm going to start off because I have a very polarizing view and I know everyone will just yell at me, which will be sweet and you'll love it. So to give a recap, we got Kiora the Crashing Wave. She's 2 blue and a green. She basically plus one ability. I guess she freezes or bubbles. What are the bubbles of a permanent?
Maddie, do you remember the card Gaseous Form? That's
yep.
what it is.
Yeah. So basically, she bubbles a dude, or is it anything? Is a land too, right? It's a permanent. Is opponent's
yeah,
permanent.
It, okay.
Right?
It, what it is until your next turn, prevent all damage that would be dealt to and by target permanent and opponent right. controls. Just remember though, using this ability on like.
Mutavault?
I wasn't going to say Mutavault. I was going to say, like, Master of Cruelties is still not going to save you.
Why?
Master of Cruelties doesn't naturally deal damage.
Oh, it's life loss?
Yep, because he attacks, and then if he goes unblocked, then his second ability triggers, which is life loss.
Oh, well, there you go. Always technical with the ferret. I love it. Her negative is Draw Card Explorer, which is amazing. That's what she's got going for her. Now, the one thing she does have going for her, and I know everyone in the SVU is just going to play this card no matter what, no matter how garbage yeah. this fucking card is, because it's make fucking Kraken tokens. And I have to shout out Les, Brandon, Proxy Guy, all those guys that work together on those proxy tokens, which I know a lot of people have asked. I don't know how we're going to get those to you, but they have to be printed. Like, who gives a fuck about our tokens? They don't even matter. Who Kevin Metal tokens? Who wants that
shit?
Get
the Kraken!
I want a Kraken token, like, so, and that Altart one, just, it's fascinating, so.
Yes.
So, Maddie.
Yes.
I'm surprised you didn't go there.
Well, hold on. You haven't even
all
let me
of the two Explore jokes can involving
I'm not touching Bert and Cheney, fuck, man. I'm not touching that guy right now. But there are, okay, so here's my thing. So at 4 mana, I looked at this Planeswalker right off the bat, and I'm like, well, okay. I was brewing with Luke there, and we're like, well, what deck is going to want this? Obviously something that wants mana, card draw. Well, there's already decks like that. Who are they? They're blue-white decks. Okay, so we're playing a blue-white deck splashing green in a Bant kind of shell. Why the fuck? Here's the question. Why would I want this card? I don't need it. The right. deck is already so good. What does it need this Planeswalker for it for when I want to Supreme Verdict the board? Do I want to follow up with her or Jace? Jace.
She just feels like there's no the places she belongs. There doesn't really like she's not as good as just having other cards there.
Right, and then you have to think about this. Hero's Downfall is real, and Mono Black plays it. So, am I going to want this against any of the decks in the current meta? No. Probably not. Maybe in an Esper Control mirror I might want this, or in a UI mirror, but I don't know. Like,
Maddie, here's where I'm going to argue you on this, is in most cases right now, you only have like one, unless you're up against like the red-white Boros deck, but in most cases, there's only like one or two major threats that you've got to take care of per turn.
Pack Rat? I disagree.
Pack Rat is an notable exception, okay?
I think there's actually a lot. The blue deck has a million guys out. I look at this thing and I say this. If I'm playing blue-white, I have more answers than I need. I don't know what this card does. Now, here's where this card may work, and it's a brand new deck. It's gonna be a blue-white ramp deck, and you basically want to get Aetherling on the board. As fast as possible. Cause, I look at Aetherling as that closes out a game and can't be killed. Now, if you can ramp up enough to have the protection mana to have Aetherling there, you could beat a lot of decks. Mono Black's still hard, but, you know, you might be able to race it. So maybe there's a blue or a blue-green kind of control rampy deck, but even if you built this list, which we were trying to over the break to try and break something and figure it out, you end up splashing white. So as soon as I splash white for Detention Sphere and Supreme Verdict, I don't know what I'm doing with all this green shit. Just get it out of there. So I don't know. I mean, interesting. We'll have to see what Born of the Gods hits us. If we got some interesting strategies, could be cool. I mean, I like the Planeswalker. I think it's cool. Art's good. I don't know why they didn't bust the frame, though. Whoever's the creative director on
it. I really like the goddamn Kraken token emblem, and just for that reason, that's why I want a player.
Yeah, that's about where my happiness stops with this card.
No, I was joking around with somebody on Twitter, and I was like, you know, I just want to stick to, I want to just play Modern with just all the counter magic, Overrun, and this bitch. And just let those just use all the counter magic you possibly can to just not do shit while she builds up Kraken tokens, and then just overrun the shit out of everything.
Do that, Kevin.
In all honesty, what's that?
So you build that deck and then just play your burn deck against it and tell me how fun tell me how fun that Kiora deck is.
Hey, no, plus one burn.
That's my point. Is it's like I literally started thinking. I'm like, what could I possibly do with this card? I mean, it's like when I first read it, I was like, oh, this seems cool. And then I was like, what could I possibly do with this card? And nothing came up but that. And I was like, well, this doesn't seem like all that much fun, because that's like the best I could come up with was like, well, I mean, that might be kind of cute once, and that would be it. So I really don't see, kind of like what Maddie was saying, like I don't see any shell that she fits in that she would be worth a fuck in that you don't just already have better cards to do those jobs anyway. And
okay, yet. Can I make a slight argument here?
Yeah.
You guys said the same thing about Thassa and Elspeth.
No, we didn't.
We said that about most cards.
No.
Terrible
no,
cards.
No, like, you guys said, to quote on
no,
Thassa.
No, we didn't. No,
yes,
hold on.
You did.
Let me quote. I know. Okay, let's start with Elspeth. Elspeth, we said, was too expensive to get there. Do you know
too
what?
Too expensive, not enough effect. You didn't understand how those little 1/1s would be able to do anything.
No. Obviously, once it establishes board presence. I get that.
Well, you don't now.
I do. The thing is, how much is Elspeth played? Not much. Thassa, we fucked up on. That, though, we should have seen coming. Is 3 mana fucking scrying god?
At worst, even if just as a scry, she was amazing.
She was. I agree. We fucked up on that call, Fair. You won that one. I'm not going to doubt. But I think we all agree that just Kiora isn't a stone.
No,
nothing.
She isn't on the level of those two at all. I will give you that.
People call it
in a deck.
Oh, I don't know. People calling her Jace the Mind Sculptor light are...
No. She's nowhere near Jace the Mind Sculptor. But she has the relevant abilities. She protects herself, and she can draw.
I disagree.
And then,
she doesn't protect herself.
She's a fucking Kraken!
Okay, she doesn't protect herself if you're like, hey, man, I'm going to bubble your Boros Reckoner. Oh, you're attacking me with a Mutavault. Fuck.
Well,
you know, like, whoopee-doo-dah. Oh, you just lightning strike me. I'm fucking dead.
Okay,
yeah.
If you're in blue and green... And yes. Kira, the only thing that you have on the table, you're fucked anyway.
Right. So, okay. So now you're telling me I have to wait a turn to have counter
you.
Magic up?
Okay.
No,
imagine a turn. Okay. Here.
Turn 3 Kiora is scary.
No, not even. Just turn 1 Mystic. Turn 2 Carrotid. Turn 3
nothing.
Kiora.
Is it turn 3? Can you do it in turn 3?
Yeah, it could either be Kara or it could be Jace the Architect of Thought, because those two are going to be in the same damn deck, and you know it. There's just no two ways around that.
I agree.
And,
all right, well, turn 3 sounds interesting, but I think we said a lot of that magical Christmas land shit that doesn't
happen. This isn't magical Christmas land. This is actually common plays as is anyway.
Let's ask the grown-ups what they think. Slick and Motiko, what do you guys think about this fucking card?
I don't think she's good. Like, I don't
know. Right on.
I mean, it's cute and it makes Krakens and those tokens are sublime, but like, no, like nowhere near the power level of Elspeth or Thassa by any stretch of the imagination. But you guys were talking about Jace the Mind Sculptor, and we just first picked one in Cube, so.
Nice.
Hopefully we'll take it all the way.
Hell yeah.
I mean, speaking of Cube, I know we all had high plans of having amazing, insane A-team versus heavy meta kind of battles, but holidays intervened with family and shit, and we kind of had to make the call, which is pretty cool. But I did get like 8 or 9 cube matches in. I had a couple with Kevy and TSG, which huge shout out to him. That guy is a cube master.
Yeah, you got fucking me and Maddie and TSG playing fucking cube together on Skype, and we're sitting in a row at the fucking table. And so TSG is telling me and Maddie what to draft. He's just all, "You idiots, why? No, no, don't take that." And then he's just all right. Maddie, you've got this coming, and then fucking Kevy, what do I have coming? Like, seriously, you guys are fucking retarded. And we wouldn't listen. We wouldn't listen at all. We're like, whatever, we're going to do this shit our own anyway. And then, like, then we drafted our decks, and then TSG proceeded to stomp all over Maddie, and then he proceeded to stomp all over me. And then, as luck would have it, me and Maddie get paired up in the last fucking round, and Maddie, I got you fucking game one, and then game two, Maddie wins, and then I timed out game three.
Yeah, he was
per Kevy fashion.
Yeah, pretty much. Me and TSG would be done around, and we'd be talking, and Kevy's like, and we're like, "Kevy, so what's up?" He's like, "Hold on, I'm concentrating." We're like, "You're still playing." He goes, "I'm still in game one, and we're finished our whole matches."
That one was not my fault though. I was playing a bird deck, and yes, I play fucking slow, but this guy was playing, like, he almost timed out the guy I was playing against, because, like, it just, he would take fucking forever, and then he'd tap all his land, and then he'd untap all of it. And he'd tap all his land, and I'm like, "Motherfucker, I've got like 12 squirrels and fucking this and that." Like, it was, cause I was playing red splashing green, and I had, what the hell's that card that makes squirrel tokens? Fuck. Whatever. It's a fucking,
Travis,
it's a hermit. It's a hermit.
Yeah, the fucking hermit that fucking deranged buffs
hermit.
Squirrels.
Deranged hermit.
And so, like, this guy's got like 2 life, and I'm like 18, and he's got like no board state at all. He's got like 1 creature, and fucking, I'm like, "Come on, dude, quit tapping all your mana. You're not gonna be able to do anything." The guy finally, with like 2 minutes left in the fucking round, was just like, "All right, fine," and fucking concedes. I'm like, "Dude, you could have done that like 10 minutes ago." But so then we go to the next fucking round, and I'm playing against TSG, and I'm like, "Oh man, I got a mulligan. Oh shit, I got 1 land. I got a mulligan again." And then that was it. That was like, I might as well have just conceded the match right there, because that motherfucker crushed me. Turn 2 or turn 3 fucking Sphinx of the Steel Wind, which has protection from
my
deck.
Yeah. Basically, I'll tell you, okay, here's what I've learned right now. So TSG drafted that goddamn Sphinx card, which was like his only creature. And yeah, every time that card came down, he'd crush it. You were like, "Well, I have nothing. I didn't draft anything that can beat that." I actually was like, "Come on, man, this is bullshit." Like, that thing is absurd in cube. Very good.
That thing is
very
nuts. Good. I literally, after playing that, I was just like, "I'm buying one of these for my cube. It needs to be in there."
It was funny. The second time me and TSG just played, I was like, "Okay, this time I'm not going to draft, you know, creatures. I'm going hardcore control, right?" And he's like, "Okay, so, you know, first pick comes up." And I'm like, "Okay, I have a chance to take Jason the Mind Sculptor, all this shit, or, you know, a Mox." And he's like, "You take the Mox." And I'm like, "I don't know, Jace, man." No, listen. I'm like, "I don't know, I think I take Jace." He's like, "No, you don't. You take the Mox." And I'm like, "Why?" He goes, "When you get the Mox draw, you'll know why." And I'm like, "Oh, come on." So I'm like, "Fine, whatever. I take the Mox." Pack 2, pick 1. I get the white Mox. So I have the blue, the white Mox, and I'm like, "Well, now what do I do?" He goes, "Now you just draft any control in blue and white, and you're good to go." So I ended up with a deck with no creatures, and 6 Planeswalkers, both Elspeths, a Johnny.
Oh, God.
Jace Bellerin, Jace Architect of Thought, Ral Zarek, and Sorin. And basically just all kinds of control shit. Armageddon, Wrath of God, Sphinx's Revelation, and I literally would sit there in the game and be like, "God." I'm like, "Go ahead, do whatever you want." "Oh, he's gonna do this Wigan." The only deck that beat me was this crazy Storm deck that was flash freezing me. It was milling me out of the game. Oh my God, it was so fucking annoying. Because
I gotta respect the brain freeze, Matt.
Brain freeze. It's brain freeze.
Respect the brain freeze.
Oh, I have to
say
that.
We're in a blizzard right now. It's just real freezy.
Yeah, it was funny because game one, I'm like, oh, I got this. And he's at like 2 life. I've got like all the planeswalker control. I'm like, there's no way. I got Batterskull on the field. You're no way you're going to beat me. And then he's like, he casts like some dumb random spell. And I'm like, what's he doing? She's like, how many mana does he have open? I'm like, well, he's got this card called Miri's Wake. And he has all the mana he wants. He's like, you're fucked. And I'm like, no, I'm not. What's he going to do? He's like, no, man, you're fucked. He's got the storm deck. I'm like, how do you know he has a storm deck? He's like, watch the storm count on the side. Just go up. Click, 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 click. And I'm like, well, he can't tendrils me. I'm at like 17 and he's only got 16 damage. He's like, oh, he's going to fucking freeze you. And he knew. Like, TSG is a stone cold bastard. He knew. Like, he's like, no way, he's going to get you. And he got me both times. I couldn't believe it. I was like, god damn it. I shouldn't have force a wield the other card. It was hard to know what card I could like survive on, but Cube is amazing. I mean, I gotta say, Cube at the holidays is so awesome. I hope we have tons more. I would love to have a Halloween Cube.
It is, yeah. I saw your tweet about that, man. The Cube is literally. I don't think Mike and I and our group of people in Philly, like, we just have been
cubing,
in a
right?
holiday blur, drinking and doing cubes, like. Motika is a master of that storm deck, though, dude.
Oh, I
don't
know.
Nobody else, like, one time, like, he drafted it, and then he had to leave, so me and my friend Chase had to play the storm deck.
And you have no idea.
And I was like, what the fuck is going on? All these cards draw 7 cards, and I don't know how I'm supposed to win this game. And meanwhile, like, if Motika's doing it, like, it's just, you know, yawn, like...
He's an Einstein.
Spiral, Lion's Eye Diamond, yeah. Brain Freeze.
Yeah. Yeah. The
deck I left him with, like, had actual, like, 3 moxes. Just, like, they're, like, second picks or something.
Oh, God. That's just disgusting. So you could just sit there. You could sit there and just wait till you have it and have no, like, just not even put mana on the field. You're like, oh, my God, yeah. This guy's going to totally crush me. No, he's not.
I can only 3-0 cubes if the decks have either 3 swords or 2 swords and a Jit.
Well, I actually had Jit too. That was funny, but I didn't get Stoneforge. I was like, oh, come on. But it was it's interesting. I gotta say, like, the more I play cube, the more I understand other formats, dude. And brewing and stuff. Like, I think it's really, really healthy. I know it's very hard. Like, half the time, me and Kevy are sitting there like, I don't know what the fuck that card does, and I don't know what this guy is doing right now, but it doesn't look good for me.
Well, that's actually brought a lot of it, like, a lot more of it for me, too, especially me, like, not knowing a lot of these older cards, and not, like, you know, as odd as it sounds, like, even as that knowledge kind of transfers into even playing Standard and playing with just the newer cards, is, like, some of these interactions that I wouldn't have thought of or wouldn't have paid attention to that I can make happen, you know, by playing, you know, when I'm playing cube, like, just cards I haven't messed with before, and then being like, oh, I kind of get how that works now. All right. It's taught me more. And especially since that's like all I've been doing lately, I've like given up on fucking like paper magic for the most part, like altogether, except for my cube. And so like playing cube, whether it's playing against interactions or playing them, you know, seeing them myself when I'm playing, going, oh shit, never really thought of that. And then that's just one more like lesson in the book as far as magic goes. And it's helped me a lot with me playing like across the board, like all, you know, formats and shit is like playing cube. I fucking love it, man. It's ridiculous.
Oh man. I also have, I gotta have a huge shout out, Kevy. I got my commander deck, little birthday
that's what
present.
I was gonna get to those later, but fucking.
Oh,
yeah,
I gotta shout him out now.
Huge fucking shout out to fucking Nathan Weber, because fucking Matty got his commander deck for Christmas from Nathan, and
he
I got
me
fucking. That's badass. Now you don't have to throw decks at people anymore.
That's what he said, dude. Like, oh, this is so sweet, dude.
But yeah, like fucking dude just fucking hooked it up. He asked me because he's just like, hey man, did you still need that fucking, you know, Baleful Strix you were talking about? I was like, no, dude, Scotty's got that handled for me for Christmas. And he's just like, well, do you need anything else? And I'm like, swords. And some motherfucker just sent me a Sword of Fire and Ice for Christmas with a fucking. God. And, you know, I was just all, dude, are you sure? Are you fucking kidding me? And he's like, dude, just keep doing what you guys are doing. You know, thank you for doing what you're doing. So huge fucking shout out to Nathan for doing that. That was fucking
huge
badass Christmas present.
Absolutely. I mean, well, I know.
We're going on random shout-outs then.
Yeah. Hold on. We're not done yet. No, and like that also leads into fucking another gigantic fucking huge fucking shout-out to Les, because I'm sure you guys saw my Twitter fucking cube care package that fucking Les put together for me. So that shit's on its way here, and I just got fucking – I'm getting tons of cards for my cube. I'm fucking stoked. So huge shout-out to him too.
I hope he seals it with kangaroo blood or something cool.
Well, you guys were getting your cube on. I was getting my PS3 gaming on, and I've got to thank, you know, Luke Narinan and Andrew W. Hand Banana for getting me those original controllers, because the difference between the third party and original controllers is
huge.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Dude,
ridiculous. I mean, like on the PS2 or the Xbox original systems and all that, it wasn't that big of a deal, or even with Xbox 360, isn't that big deal. PS3, it fucking matters.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it was fucking terrible. I did that same shit, like, with my PS3, I had the controller that came with it, and then I got fucking another one, and then we started, we'd play fucking, party-type games and shit like that all the time when we're hanging out drinking at the house, so girlfriend and I were like, well, we need to grab some more controllers, so, you know, we just figured they'd be extra controllers anyway, and grabbed a couple third-party ones, and then...
Nope.
So well, since then, I've had to go back through and spend
the money. Kevy, my PS3 was a refurb, because my uncle refurbs them. And everything.
Oh, okay.
And, he just sent me a brand new inbox third party controller. And out of the fucking box, the down, the down or back button on the left analog just was completely borked. Yep. I mean, it would kind of sort of work if you got it at the right angle or whatever, but there was like a dead zone on it.
Yeah, dude, every experience I've had with third party controllers for the PS3 are fucking terrible. Not just the two that I bought, but other ones that I've played with before, they're fucking garbage. So ones you gotta spend the money.
Yeah, I mean, when I got my PS1 and PS2, way back in the day, I was still working at Toys R Us, so I got the
the special discount.
Well, yeah,
backdoor discount.
One of my buddies worked the electronics part of it, and he knew me and my cousin would play Tech in 24 hours a day. Like we'd go crazy, and we would break controllers. We'd get frustrated or angry days. We'd just throw controllers against the wall, and we broke 7 PS2 controllers in one summer, and it would be hilarious because we're like, hey, man. He's like, again? I'm like, yeah, we threw it against the wall, man. We got pissed off. We couldn't get Dr. Braskanovic at the end. And he'd just be like, here. And he'd just throw us controllers. So I had a box in my basement of 13 controllers when I sold the system. And I gave it – I think I traded it in. Yeah, I traded it in at GameStop. I walk in, right? And I just walk in with this box of shit. And I'm like, here, is this worth anything? And the lady goes through it. She's like, how many controllers are in here? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe 3 work. The rest have just been casualties of war. And she pulls it up. And one of them is busted. There's wires hanging out and shit. And she's just like, anger issues? I'm like, no. Just,
no, not at all.
None. Not at all. Just give me this horrible look. But, oh, man. Yeah, controllers are awesome. I mean... PS3, I don't know. I finished Grand Theft Auto, which if anyone doesn't play that, the game is well deserved.
Not going to play it. I have absolutely no desire to play that trash.
Oh, it is good, dude. It is good. That's probably one of the best games I've ever played.
Okay, yeah. Maddie, I'm sorry, but I'm literally gonna pull a quote from my father. Garbage in, garbage out.
It ain't garbage, dude. It's sick. This isn't a
the
cash.
The content
sick,
of
dog.
It is garbage. I'm sorry.
Ferret, the game's unreal. Mm. It's unreal. It's so good. It's so good. It's a work of art.
If I deal with that kind of bullshit, I'd go move back to the West Coast.
Please. It's so good. You know what the thing about that game is? It's a movie, dude. It's the 80s. It's a movie. It feels – it's not even the 80s.
You
want to
know
it's
a game that's a movie? It's called The Last of Us. It's going to be Game of the Year.
It isn't. It didn't win Game of the Year. Grand Theft Auto did. And Last of Us is horrible. It's a fucking horror, pornography, fantasy, cum shot, zombie. It's so depressing.
I need that.
You know what? You know what Last of Us is? Last of Us is for people who want to commit suicide. And they just, they want to do something. They need that little push to go over the edge.
Maddie, that's too deep right now, man. That's too deep. You know, Barrett is really sensitive right now, man.
You know? Oh,
nah,
no.
It's all good.
No, it is, no, Last of Us is, I tried to play that game and it is so depressing. I just sat there like, well, I don't need to play video games anymore now for a long time. It's depressing, man. That game is, ugh. I don't know. Anyways, PS4 is, anyone got one of those yet? No? Neither do I.
Oh, PS4? Fuck that.
There you go. Great launch! New systems? Yeah!
I ain't fucking, I'm not gonna pay that kind of money, bro. Like, my PS3 is starting to fucking shit out right now because, like, it's also the main thing that we use on the fucking TV in the living room. Like, and we run fucking Netflix and Hulu and all that shit off of it. And so that's, like, what we use to watch TV, so it's on constantly, and it's finally starting to shit out. And not even once has it really entered my mind, like, oh, I should get a PS4 when this finally breaks. No, I'm just getting another PS3. I'm not fucking buying a PS4 for a while. Because as much as I'd like to have one, I mean, number one, you got to deal with all the fucking first generation bugs and shit anyway.
There ain't no games, man. If there was games, I would. If there was good games, I would justify it. If Grand Theft Auto had come out and looked 10 times as good, I would have bought a PS4 on Grand Theft Auto, man. Fuck it, Snapbot. But it didn't, and they fucked up. And that's their fault. But speaking of games. Here's an interesting conversation I had, because a lot of people are all abuzz about Hearthstone, the Warcraft Magic clone, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. It's kind of like Magic for idiots in a Warcraft.
Magic for idiots.
I mean, it is and it isn't. It's for attention deficit order people. I'll say this, I played it for about 2-3 days. I really gave it a good shot. I watched a bunch of the top streamers play it. And my honest opinion is, like, for me, who likes the complexities of Magic and, like, you know, I want to play chess with my opponent, this isn't it. And it's, and then, you know, I had a hard time using the deck building system. Everything feels so fucking limiting after you played Magic that I couldn't enjoy most of it. And when I was like, oh, these are advanced strategies. Like, I was watching some of the streamers, like Artios or Artios or whatever. There was like 15,000 fucking people watching this guy. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I can't believe this. A brand new TSG card. Yeah, it is Warcraft. I get it. But still, like, holy balls. Now, this is my commentary on this whole thing. Worth and your team. This is a heartfelt, honest, straight up message to you. I love you. I love this game. I don't want it to die. But you're not taking your competitors seriously. And here's the conversation I had with a ton of people over the break. I sat down with a bunch of kids ranging from like 12 to 20. They all play games. They've all played Hearthstone. Some of them have tried Magic. They're the people that are going to pay for the next 10 years of Magic. You know, like, we can do our bit, but if the game doesn't grow, then we're all dead. And everyone that I talked to about this, they loved Hearthstone, and they did not like Magic. All of them. 100%, if I said, you have one choice, here's two computers. There's Magic on one client, you have all the cards. It's free to play. And there's Hearthstone. Every single one of them chose Hearthstone. Now, hold on, I want to preface this with, they've never really gotten hardcore into the game. We all know that it's the slow feed, the slow hooks that get you, and then once you're in. Very hard to get in.
Okay, but you know what, Maddie?
Hold on, let me finish this. This is astounding to me, though. Astounding.
Okay.
That we're sitting there, and I'm like explaining, like, as I'm playing Hearthstone, how, you know, wow, like in Magic, you could do this. And they're like, yeah, that sounds great. Pull up Magic. And again, the issue with the client. And, you know, it's not necessarily the visuals, but when I started to explain to them the cost of Magic, like, I showed them Masuba, and I'm like, yeah, this card's like, oh, like, we joked about Wasteland. I'm like, yeah, it's $70. They're like, $70? This is what the 13-year-old said. For $70, I can get Battlefield, and I can play that for 6 weeks straight. And then, with the extra money, I could probably play online for another 3 months. So, how long does $70 get you in Magic? I'm like, It buys me one land. Now, the honest answer to them, now, yeah, you could play cheaper. We all know about Pauper. We all know that. But the answer to him was, why do you do this, and how rich are you? So to the 13-year-old, to the young kids entering the game, like they literally, it is a unbreachable wall of finance to them. Like, it is so expensive that they don't even care. They're like, I'm out. And then I'm like, well, there's Duels of the Planeswalkers. And they're like, yeah, that's kind of cool. But it's like Hearthstone light. It is so kind of over. Oh, you played it for, you know, a couple hours and then you're done. There's nothing to do except to buy packs. And you're like, well, why am I going to buy packs on an app that's going to have a new app in 9 months? Like, I'm wasting my money there. So they don't see the value. And so if you're competing with like PS3 games, like The Last of Us and other games, at a certain dollar value, you know, you have to make Magic somewhat close to that metric. And just blew my mind that, yeah, we're all addicted. We, like, it's crack. Like, we don't care. Open up our wallet, take my credit cards. And,
you know, Maddie, I was going to make it even easier for you. There's another game called Hex that's coming out.
I've heard Hex, though. The problem with Hex is, Hex is shit. Hex is direct Magic.
Hex is shit.
It is. It's
a
garbage.
It's a Magic clone that's free to play and is an MMO.
It is a direct, but it's such a ripoff that, like, if you played Magic, you wouldn't leave because you're like, this is such a fucking stupid thing. Man.
Well, it's like, stupid as it is, but the fact of the matter is, we're not talking about the old people that are playing. You're talking exactly like you were saying, 13-year-old. Here's Magic. It's free to play.
That's a definite worry.
And it uses the same general theory as Hearthstone, to where you could earn into anything.
Yeah. Now, here's.
Oh, and it has a better UI.
I wouldn't go that
Everything
far.
Everything has a better UI than Magic.
I wouldn't go that far. Now, here's the mind blower for me. That what one of them said is, I'm like, okay, so, you know, we all heard Worth and we all heard what the wish list of Magic new client's gonna be. So I'm like, okay, I know you don't like V3 or you know, whatever the current shitty client is, and I know you know, it's expensive. But I said, what if we had this magical new client that Wizards is promising us that doesn't break, it has leagues, it's got everything you can think of, it looks even sexier than it does now, and all the prices and all the cards were half the cost, would you still play? Their answer to me was simple. They're like, if I wanted to play Magic, if I'm going to invest the money, then I would buy the paper cards. But they're like, here's the problem. I don't have the time. So I don't want to buy paper cards and Magic. What appeals to me about Magic online is the fact that, like, what we love about it. I can play it anywhere. I can pick it up. I can put it down. You know, I can play with the guy across the world. You know, I got 5 minutes before an exam or whatever. You know, whatever you want to do, that's the convenience factor of it. But they're like,
that the resale market doesn't wreck you the way that the paper one does.
Well, the one comment one of them made, which was fascinating, was he goes, okay, so I put in what, $100, $200, $300, I get a deck, I start playing. I'm like, okay, sure, that's probably very reasonable. He's like, okay, after 3 months, well, what happens? Well, you're kind of bored of your deck or it rotates. Okay, here we go, he's not impressed. He's like, well, how do I get my $300 back? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, I want it back now. Well, you can... get PayPal credit if you really, if you trust a Russian guy who's gonna, you know, take all your tickets, maybe you'll get your money. And so he's like, so basically I'm just throwing the money in the toilet. I'm like, well, no, you gotta remember, this is like a kid. This is like a 16-year-old kid's mindset where he's
okay,
like,
even explaining it to a 16-year-old kid, you just say, I mean, here's the fact of the matter is you go and you talk to a dealer like, Academy, Card Nexus, MTGO Traders, just
fair,
like you would go down
fair,
to
fair,
the fucking
fair, fair.
Local card store.
Here's the thing, though. When I got into Magic, I didn't even know you guys existed for years. It's not – Magic needs to change. It's so intimidating that you throw this money in, it's gone.
You can't tell me that you didn't know about CardBot or MTGO Traders.
Yeah, but I didn't know you could get your card. Like, if there was – I think, like – you put so much money into it. If there was a guarantee, like if I'm a kid, like, okay, I put $300 in but you know what? I don't want to play this anymore now and I want to go buy a new iPhone. Can I get $200 back, like in cash today? Like, can I get my money out quick and reliable and trustworthy?
Yes.
I think that would help. Can you?
Yes.
I've heard too many horror stories about who do I trade to.
That's because they're selling to shady people. Okay. The fact of the matter is this. honestly, if you were just to liquidate your cards for tickets as, you know, the simplest matter, okay, and you'd be able to get the top dollar that you sell, that you get top tickets for every single card you have, then you can go to MTGO Traders, for example, because they're the ones that I know who deal with the bulk the most.
Okay.
Us at Academy, we will buy every now and then, but that you got to talk to Chris about that. But, I mean, traders for a fact, they will always buy at least 90 cents to the ticket, and that's when you, you know, MTGO economy is having hell, like when they had the shutdown. Or during normal times, they'll buy at 95 cents per ticket. So you're literally still getting 95% of your investment.
Yeah,
now,
if the cards
let's say, now let's say that you're only getting 80% of your investment for selling to bots. Once again, you're still way the hell ahead of what you would do in the paper market, because normally your dealers locally will give you 50% of the card value.
It's true, but there is a perception that I own these cards and there's some value there. I mean, I get it. That's good to know. Like, that's really good to know. I didn't know that. So at least it doesn't feel like so much of a black hole. But the whole art, like the whole back and forth I had with these people was just eye opening that we're deep in Magic. Like, to us, you know, they put some fucking gold paint on it. We're like, yeah, this thing is the fucking best. Yeah. Like, oh my God, shit didn't crash this time. Oh, this system's so sweet. And the real world is looking at us like we're dinosaurs. Like, what the fuck are you doing playing that piece of
shit? Unfortunately, as far as our system goes, we are dinosaurs.
And this is the problem. And I really believe, like, I hope that there is someone on your team worth that is like giving you honest advice and isn't just saying like, hey, let's just keep fixing what we have. Like, I hope that someone's took an honest analysis of what your competitors are doing and saying, hey, man, we need to put $10 million into this game. We need to put a serious amount of investment in to crush everyone else. Like, you need to build the next decade, that platform that the next decade's going to sit on, because it is scary.
I got two cents here because I work in web development as well and Maddie does more of the creative side. I do more of the middleware stuff for cell phone apps for what I do, but I mean it's deplorable. And I love Magic.
That's a good word.
I work very hard at keeping multiple applications running on for major corporations, and the fact that you can't get a Wizards endorsed deck building application out in 6 months is just mind numbing.
Here's another one. What happened to that app they had?
You don't understand. I could bring my team of guys in that I work with now,
in two weeks.
They could be done a day. It would be like it would be like vacation.
Yeah.
Fly to Seattle, solve the app problem, fly back to Philadelphia, and be done with it.
And actually, you know, the funny thing is, like our company, for a stupid example, could give you all the numbers for the cards, and probably end up making your job a 3-day job, because then at that point you'd need is to link like pictures to cards and you're done.
It's unreal. And you know, like I know like at the root of the problem has got to be that the way that they built the back-end system is just abhorrent, and they can't support the fact that they want to bring on new technologies, but they can't jeopardize everyone's save files or their card collections.
It's not even that.
Hold on. I'm going to get completely technical with Jagger here in a second. Hold on. I got to clear that. You know as well as I do, it's called database dump. It's called rip all the data and redo it. It's called mirror your system, build your new database, keep everything up to date, and then shunt. It's not hard. It's bullshit. Like, there's
okay, but
no
what you guys
excuse.
Are talking about is simply making decks, right?
No, we're talking about
collections. Collections and account management.
Yeah, the truth is, like,
there was supposed to be an app that
Hold on. Fair. So what we're talking about is they have their own servers that are running their own admin programs for the entire system that keeps track of everything.
Okay, I'm aware of that. But okay, you guys were talking about making an app for the game to be able to make text.
We're moving,
right?
We're moving real fast. We're moving.
Yeah. Look, fair. If this was a subway stop, we left you three stops ago. What we're saying is the app is so easy that we just stop talking about it because there's no excuse that should be done. But what we're saying
I was like, even me who knows nothing about this shit could probably put that together.
Well, I don't know why we don't. It worth call Jaggers. He'll send a team down, get it done, pay him a couple boxes of Modern Masters, and you're done. Like, come on. Like, how is that not – how are they not thinking like this? But the whole thing that me and Jagger can't understand is obviously, you know, this 10 years old. They built some legacy system that initially did stuff. Then they built 2, 3, 4 clients on top of this thing, and it's a fucking disaster. And with this new client, the whole idea was – and I remember reading the articles about how they rebuilt everything on the back end. They made digital objects. They brought everything into the 21st century, supposedly. And they've all been working. And the problem is that they can't get to the next step. Hit me.
Here's the fun part. Yes. They've done all this, right? Yeah. And actually, I'll ask Slick on this one. Hey, Slick, if you're making a new app, you make it so it is not compatible with, like, Android 4.4 KitKat?
Nope.
Or it works shit on it, or, you know, we'll even go to 4.2.
No, okay, you're talking about a mobile app right now, right?
Because smart-ass remark of, why the fuck did Wizards design beta so that it doesn't work with Windows 7 in any, like, reasonable fashion?
It works on my Windows 7. I don't know what you're talking about.
Maddie, here's this. Just make a sandbox version, Sandbox XP. Now load up the beta on XP. Watch how much faster it is on XP or even Windows 8 than it is on Windows 7.
Oh, Windows
7. It has a conflict of interest with Windows 7 for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, here.
It's
I'll
a documented
just,
fact.
Look, I'm going to preface this. Any software development, and Jagger will speak to this, it's not easy to make something run on every piece of software. It is a pain in the ass.
I understand that, but Windows 7 is like the most common Windows right now because everybody is getting out of XP because, well, it's
XP.
Legacy and it's done.
I haven't run that.
And plenty of people absolutely still hate Vista or Windows 8. So
Win7X64.
Most people that are like getting Windows are pretty much going, hi, I want 7.
And that should be their base testing system, OS. Like, that's what you should be testing on. But what I'm trying to get at is, it's called, you fund your development. So you can't just write an app and walk away. You have to fund its main, you know, keeping it alive and up to date as things change.
The bottom line has to be money, man. Because like they're in Renton, which is right outside of Seattle, which is where Microsoft and Amazon have two of their biggest dev shops. Like there is talent in Seattle as far as development. I don't know how they can't have the money. I don't know how Hasbro structures it all. I don't know. All I know is that it's just incompetent. Like the CIO, whoever is running
the CIO.
I don't know if the CIO is worth. I don't know if it's somebody else, but like. Come on, man. Like, get a spark under your ass. Get passionate about it. Hire the right people. Build the right system.
Yeah.
You know, especially with all these competitors coming in. Like,
I still think it all, like, especially with that competitors part. Like, I still think that across the board, like, Wizards is kind of hiding behind this whole, we have the best game, and so we can kind of just do what we want with it.
No, and I believe that. You're right though, because you know what? I am part of the reason why the problem doesn't get solved.
Yep.
Because I'm talking all this shit, but I'm literally cubing right now.
We will do a podcast. We will jump on and spend our time every week to bitch about the problems with it. And then fucking still continue to pay their fucking bills by fucking buying the cards, fucking going. And it's because they have the best game. There's no replacement for it. Hearthstone was fun. I played it for a few and then I kind of got bored with it. And I just, no matter what, I go back to fucking, and I hate even playing on the new client, the beta client. And so I still, when I want to play fucking games, I jump on the old fucking V3 client and deal with the bullshit so I can play Magic, because this is a game that I love to play and nothing else has come close.
Now, here, you know, we're not going to keep destroying this poor horse that we've beaten, raped, and
that we've been beating since episode one.
Sorry I came to the party with the cake of gasoline.
That's all right.
Hey, I asked you to bring it on the invitation. So.
That is true.
So
WD-40 and a crack lighter.
So let's ask some questions, because obviously 2014, new year, and you know, I'm very curious, guys. Is there any New Year's resolutions in terms of Magic that you guys want to accomplish in 2014? Now, for me, I definitely want to get better at Standard. I think I'm going to take it a little more seriously, enter a few more, you know, 8-mans, maybe put some money down and start, you know, really brewing a badass deck and tweaking it to the point where I can take down something. That's going to be my New Year's thing. So I don't know. What about you guys?
My New Year's thing? I'm going to play some Magic.
I was going to say, unfortunately, mine happens to more revolve around the whole store side, you know, of things.
Yeah, you want shit to work right.
Yeah, exactly. I want them to get their shit together so that way we can get our shit together, that we can possibly do some better advertising and whatnot.
Ferret's New Year's goal is, I just want to trade Ice Age cards.
Come on, Jim, you have no idea how much that pisses me off. Oh, so you ordered an Ice Age Brainstorm. Sure. Fuck. You're on the beta. All right, I'll teach you how to download V3 so you can get your fucking card.
Oh, man. Now, how awesome is that? Like, could you imagine you go into a store?
Here's the worst thing. You got me started, fucker. Here's the worst goddamn part of it. You know when you go to download the clients? That the way to get the V3 client is that it's basically like a hidden tab downloading that you got to click on it instead, and then it'll turn around and allow you to download the V3. Yeah, of course everybody's on the fucking beta that's new, because they don't even fucking know the V3 download option exists. That's how incompetent your UI people are, you fucking fucks.
There's a reason for that, Ferret. Come on now.
Yeah, they don't want people. But how bad is that? You know, you download, like, imagine you buy a new iPhone. You're like, hey, I want to put an app on it. Well, you got to go get your old iPhone and download the app on that. like, how bad is that for new players? Like, you know, that's horrible. Like, they complain that paper is better than digital, but maybe it's because you don't give a fuck about digital and how it's represented. And it's sad because it could be better.
The option to be able to click over, but it's not even that. It's actually part of the UI. It's just a different spot that you have to click on. Oh my god.
All right, well, Kevy, what, besides playing more Magic, come on, what is your New Year's resolution?
Fuck. I don't know.
Finish the cube.
Well, that's like, I don't know. When it comes down to it, that's something that, like, I've just been completely interested in lately anyway, is the cube thing. So I think, like, I don't know about finishing my cube, because I don't know if, you know, the fucking wife is going to let me spend enough money to finish my cube in the next year.
But, the whole proxy.
Because now it's become full-blown obsession, and I don't have any, like, I don't have any want to spend my money.
I've already told you, I will teach you how to make your own, even if they're
I know, but that's the whole fucking thing. I'm not that concerned, like, yes, I'm proxying shit up.
It's not hard.
I'm putting proxies into the fucking thing, but that doesn't mean I want the proxies to fucking stay there forever. And so, like, at some point, I'm just going to have the Moto Cube, but in real cards. And then I'm going to have to just keep it under lock and key and not let anybody ever play it again. But every once in a while, I can get nude and just roll around in it.
Well, you know,
you cry that you dog-eared a corner and there just went your $2,000 Lotus to become, you know, $500.
You know,
I'm going to spend as much time and money building this cube as I am as much money building and explaining to my fucking wife why I had to spend this much money on a cube of Magic cards. So it's going to cost me like double what.
Yeah, I can just see it now. You'll be going, so you have all this cardboard instead of my new car.
Yeah. What? I'm like, well, but you don't understand. Like, baby, look at this Mox. Look at it. Look at the condition.
You know, I got to shout out Rye ABC, who we did the charity event with, and he wants to start a store, and we're talking about, like, why don't stores offer more unique products with Magic? And one of them was a Popper Starter Cube set, which, in my opinion, I would snap by, like,
just a starter cube in general. Like, what was it? Robot Large was talking about that. Like, you know, why isn't there a product like that? Because, and, you know, my response to him was just like, you know, just do what I did. Because him and his buddies are too lazy to fucking make a cube. And I was all, dude, just do what I did. Just take fucking all your extra one-ofs and shit like that, throw them in a box and draft them. And after doing that once or twice, you're going to be instantly motivated to stop playing garbage and start, like, you know, popping cards in and out and be like, all right, well, I got to get rid of these and put in good cards. Every time you draft a card, you're like, this is a shit draft common that I had laying around and threw in the box. And you're like, this card is like a functional reprint of – this card, but it costs two more mana. It's got a fucking smaller ass, and it doesn't do as much. Why don't I just put that card in there?
Well,
and so then all of a sudden you have a big cube.
Now here, check it out. So why? I mean, like, everyone says, you know, support your local stores, which, you know, hey, you should try to do if you can. But what I look at it is, how amazing is that? Like, if I was running a store and I have one of the, you know, the kids you're paying to sort Magic cards, I'd be like, hey, dude, you know what you do in your spare time? Start making, like, 100 card starter popper cube packs. And then you've got all this fucking trash cards that no one wants to filter through. You sit, put them there. They're all garbage cards. I could probably dig through my collection, but like you, Kevy, I'm fucking lazy. And if it already came sleeved in a box, I'd be like, you know what? That looks fun. I'm going to buy two of them and patch them together and have a mini 200 cube or 200 a card starter cube. Like,
and you know what you do, like, what you do as a game store, though, is like, to get that, to kick that off, to really get people excited to do that, you do some, like, cube events.
Yeah,
like,
yep, exactly, dude, you're nailing it,
or something like that, or whatever. And you do some cube events to get people into and be like, holy shit, this is fun. Because I never gave a fuck about cube before we played, like, the holiday cube, and I was like, oh my god, this is fucking fun.
Exactly.
And,
I'm telling you,
don't want to get new players hooked on cube, man. It's not a good business decision.
Bullshit. I disagree. I disagree completely. If you think about it,
I don't know, Maddie. I don't know. I mean, I know both sides of the coin.
I was slick on this one.
Okay,
well, there's way easier to lose more money than you make this way.
Yeah, I get
if you get people hooked on cube and you encourage them to build your own cube, it's just like, way less money over time versus the guy that's come every 5 years to draft on Thursdays.
No, I get that.
I'll tell you why. The guy that comes every Thursday to draft has no friends. And that's why he comes to draft.
Hey, man, fuck you, all right?
The people – listen.
Hey, I got you, Slick. All of your friends are on the internet, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Motherfucker, you see my Skype picture? All right.
Hey, you know what's funny?
Remember, this is the guy whose hair you want to fuck. Knock it off.
All right, fair enough. So all of Slick's friends are either on the internet or female.
Yeah.
and just don't care about his Magic addiction.
There's no problem. Look, if every girl likes to play Cards Against Humanity, I can settle for that.
That is not a problem.
I actually just got to play that game for the first time, like, the other weekend, and then New Year's Eve. That shit's way too much fun. I might quit playing Magic for that.
You could become a master, yeah.
You know what I was thinking? I'm like, do they have, like, an online version? How amazing would Cards Against Humanity be? Like,
just do a fucking, like, an SVU Cards
Against Humanity. Yeah. Oh, dude.
God.
That'd be sweet. But anyways, back to the whole Popper Cube thing. Like, if you think about it from a store's point of view, if you packaged last year's, I don't know, block or whatever into, like, you know, a set, they're the older cards, so people coming in that are hooked in the game are going to want still buy the new cards, but you're just getting rid of the stuff that you're going to throw in a box and no one's ever going to touch. It also just allows you, you know, number one, you could start opera tournaments there.
Hey, Matt.
It also gives people a chance who can't afford, and I know many, many people, a lot of them are my friends, that don't play Magic because they are like, I'm not spending that much money. But if you told them, hey, buy this, they would.
Tell you what, I'll challenge you then.
All right.
Put together, like, a 700 card pop.
I can't finish my cube, you motherfucker.
Stop. Go ahead. Put, like, two or three of these 700 card cubes. together and try selling them on eBay.
But that's not the point. The point is...
Did you even have the perfect advertising platform? It's called Thiscast.
I guarantee, no shit. I guarantee you, if it was packaged right,
it's a little different. Selling it on eBay, people that are like trying to, you know, just right. checking shit out on eBay. No, that's a different story than fucking walking into your LGS. Because I know I'm the same way. Like, I know I could get a cheaper price for this card on eBay, or I could get a cheaper price for fucking if I was to package up a cube and fucking sell it on eBay. But like when I walk into my game store, money in pocket, and it's sitting in front of me,
exactly.
there's that margin of difference that I'm willing to pay. I'll pay that much more for the single to put in my hand right now and go home with it instead of ordering it up on the internet. Which, I mean, there are people that are both ways. People that will walk in and be like, oh, you guys want that for it? I can wait a week and then go home and fucking and order it online. There Anyways. Are people like me that walk in and will just want to buy it.
I'm just
the worst part about this too?
Yes.
I just get to thinking, you know damn well that there would be at least 3 or 4 members that would end up buying the damn things from you just to spite me and go, ha ha, fuck you, ferret.
There you go. The fuck you, ferret.
That's the power of the SVU. They will dump their money into this shit just to make ferret be wrong.
Dude, wait, hold on. Right. Can we please just make the heavy metal versions of those motherfucking A-Team shirts? Please.
Oh.
God, they deserve it so bad.
I'm pretty sure we're doing that.
And I have to give a big shout. I like GP Boston this year is on my birthday.
Uh-oh.
And Scotty Mack has been talking about going out there and doing it big.
Well, I talked to Scotty about that, and I might be able to do that one.
Dude, don't even say that shit.
Dude, no, Boston is July 25th. That's my birthday. And if you're going to be there, we're going to go fucking crazy.
Oh, come on.
Well, it's far enough out that, like, because, you know, you were talking about doing Philly in April because I couldn't do fucking Montreal.
Yeah.
We were talking about doing that. That's still fucking already creeping up close. And we've got wedding shit. We got stuff like that. But when I was bugging Scotty when Scotty said something about, you know, coming to an American GP, I was just like, you know, you should do Portland because Portland is on this side of the country. and we should, I could roll up to fucking Portland because fucking I could make a weekend of it. We'll go up, see her fucking parents in fucking Oregon, and I'll pop up to Portland and I'll just do that for the weekend. And he's just like, yeah, that would be cool if the fucking plane ticket didn't cost like $1,200. I was like, oh, all right, well, fair enough. And because I figured then, you know, we could maybe get fucking Schofield and Bush down there too. But then when he was really getting into the Boston thing, I was like, and I looked up the fucking prices for tickets. I was like, I could go do Boston for like fucking $700.
Yeah, and Boston's not bad, man.
That's not too
bad. I think, did Jeremy say he was going to try to make it? Because I know Jeebs is out there. And let me tell you, I hung out with Jeebs in Philly, and, you know, it was we were at the bar for maybe an hour and a half or so, but we had a good time.
Jeebs is fucking before cool, you dude. Threw I love up. That guy to death. But he's an abrasive son of a bitch. But I guess when you're hanging out with him, like, in person, it'd be a different story.
Oh, I mean, he's still pretty abrasive, but he's, you know, it's different, like, when you're looking at, like, the crazy bearded old man, and then when you're actually looking at, you know...
The crazy Jeeves. Bearded old man.
I think that's what ruined everything for him, is, like, Jeeves' downfall was when he was on fucking the Star City Games coverage. When everybody saw what Jeeves looked like, and it was all over Twitter, they were like, oh, I'm not scared of that guy anymore. He's not a big crazy old man. He's just a Jeebus in an orange shirt.
He's a Jeebus.
And that orange polo, though.
Yeah, well, definitely. That Boston sounds cool. I mean, just to go to a. If you could even get tickets to go to a fucking Sox game, like.
That'd be cool.
What? Oh, that'd be sick.
Regardless, like, I've been itching lately for the last couple weeks. I don't know why, but something just popped in my head. I was like, man, I miss hanging out with the fucking guys. Like, you know, I got to see Marcel when I was in Oakland. Of course, we had our fucking whole shebang in fucking Vegas. But it's like, man, I want to hang out with these motherfuckers again. But then again, real life gets in the way, and it's like, I can't really afford or justify to my fucking wife, like, flying across the country or to another country to go play Magic for a weekend, or say that I'm going to play Magic for a weekend and then just drop and get drunk. Vegas is one thing. I can drive there. But, you know, so it's a whole different story. But I've been really wanting to fucking try to put something together this year so that we can all try to get together again. And now, hey, maybe it needs to be Boston this year.
Well, that's the thing, though, because it's all it was Montreal, Kevy, but you had a kid on the wrong fucking day.
I know, man. I know, I fucked it up. But you guys can't do this without me.
Oh, we're fucking doing it, dude. It's well, going down. Okay,
you guys are gonna do it without me, but that's why I'm trying to figure out another one to do too.
Well, okay, so Kev, yeah, I got to be honest with you. So we all have had a secret meeting about how. Yeah, well, but how we can actually get you there, and we realize that there's no way to get you there, but there is a way to simulate you being there. And so what we're doing is we're taking a hot water bottle and we're filling it with Kraken, and we're going to draw your face on it, and then we're going to carry it with us the whole time. Now, someone, I believe it was Slick, maybe it was Slick, someone mentioned about having an MP3 player with it just you swearing a lot, and we could just, like, trigger that when we wanted to. And we figure it's, like, at least 90% accurate. Yeah, it's got to be at least 90, 92% accurate to your real, you know, you actually being there. So I figured it'd be pretty sweet, man. So if you could, if I send you a water bottle.
That definitely wasn't me, but it sounds like a great idea.
And we could drink you at the end of the fucking night, so it's even better. But if I send you a water bottle down and you draw your face and your amazing Kevy art, oh, dude.
I could do this.
Yeah, you could do this?
I could do this.
There you go. We'll take pictures with it. It was either that or get one of those life dolls.
Get a full-blown cardboard cut out of me and just make somebody carry it around all weekend.
I actually would do that. That sounds awesome. Let's do that.
See, you get a fucking life-size cardboard cutout of fucking Kevy Metal just giving the finger to everybody. You carry it around all fucking weekend. You let people take, like, fans and shit take pictures with it. I'll just fucking, Maddie, I'll ship you what my signature looks like, and I'll just give you permission to forge my signature.
Dude, and fatheads.com, man. We can get a Kevy Fathead and put it on a piece of cardboard.
Oh,
and then you walk around all fucking day with it, you make everybody sign it, and then you ship it to me, and then I don't have to leave my house, but it was like I was there.
Oh, man, that sounds sweet.
I will draw so many dicks on your face, you won't even be able to see your eyeballs.
I get yet another cardboard cutout of myself to decorate my home with.
Yeah, second one. Only Kevy. Here's a couple questions that our fans have asked. A new fan, I believe, Pit Scorpion, has asked us how our ladies deal with our magic addiction. So I thought that was kind of interesting to see who actually, how does your ladies deal with your magic addiction?
I think my opinion on this.
Have Motika pop on and tell us. I'm just giving you shit.
What am I doing? What? my opinion under is, the table with
Slick's magic. And explain how you handled Slick's magic addiction.
No. Yo, chill the fuck out. No, really. He's a peach. my whole thing is that, like, usually, like, with any chick that I'm dating, like, it's just anything that, like, you're happy about in your life, you should never, ever be ashamed of. And, like, I feel like a lot of dudes fuck up when they're, like,
No. Now we got to interrupt. No, because that's bullshit. You're telling me date one, you're sitting down, you're at a nice restaurant. You know, you got some nice rosé wine in front of you. You're having, you know, you're putting on the charm. You're 007ing the whole night. And she's like, so what are your hobbies? And your first words out of your mouth are like, oh, I play Magic the Gathering.
No, I've done it on multiple first dates. In fact. Bullshit. There was a point in time in my life when I went out to a bar. I was fucking hammered. A girl had a tattoo of a black lotus on her wrist, and I went home with her that night because I started talking to her about magic.
I can confirm.
She had no idea what the game was prior to the conversation.
Listen, I'll tell you right now.
That's even better.
I'll tell you right now, Kevy knows. It, all Magic fanboys' dream is going out and seeing a girl with a Magic tattoo. That's like just fat material for decades, right?
But
there.
It wasn't.
I thought the dream was Felicia Day.
Like it just happened to be a Black Lotus, but a Black Lotus is a lot of things to a lot of people. It's
true.
A Magic card.
Well, I don't see a koi fish on a girl and be like, oh my god, that's freaking Mudskipper or whatever.
Yeah, that's just that clap.
Yeah, it's got the clap. So Slick's answer is you just tell him straight up, right?
Just all I'm saying is don't act like it's weird.
No, right? It's like, not weird, but
it's like a nerdy hobby, but like you shouldn't be ashamed to like something because a girl's going to see that and be like, well, like, why?
Why are you hiding
something? If it's something that makes you happy, you shouldn't be ashamed of it. I get that you should be hesitant to talk about it because it's magic and it's a kid's game and we're men and that's weird. Kind of like sucking your dick and eating a cheeseburger.
But, that's not weird. You know,
it's
awesome.
All I'm saying is, like, if you could suck your dick and eat a cheeseburger, you shouldn't be ashamed about it.
No, so you should be on Ripley's Believe It or Not if you could do that at the same time. Nope. Straight up, man. You should be on TV. You know what?
Chris, sure, somebody has been on TV with that, Matty. Just not Ripley's.
Listen, Chris Angel right now, if you can eat a cheeseburger and suck your own penis, I will watch that special.
If I could fucking suck my own dick and finish it off with a cheeseburger, I'd take Chris Angel's job.
So what Slick Jagger is saying is that there's a ranking. So obviously the first thing you say is, you know, I'm athletic, I like to work out, I'm smart, I read a lot of books. And then you're saying like third and fourth is like,
well, no, it really
Wait, hold on.
It depends on the situation.
Hold on.
If you walk out, like literally fucking, you know, if you're confident and if you're one of those guys that, you know, you just have confidence in yourself, which is what really matters. You just have to have confidence in yourself. You can walk up, and the first thing you could say to a girl, other than like, "Hi," it's gonna be really weird if you're still, "I play magic." That could be one
I'm saying
is that could be one of the first things out of your mouth. It's not a big deal. Now, if you walk up with fucking like three fingers in your mouth and your hand on your dick and you're wearing sweatpants at the bar and you're just all, "Hi, my name's Slick and I play magic," then it's not going to work out the same way.
Yeah, if you don't look like a suave motherfucker and you look like a child molester and your nickname is Slick, people take it way different. you got to maintain a certain level of presentability, you know?
I will say this. One of my friends way back in the day used to carry two magic cards when he would go out to bars. And a silver Sharpie. One magic card was what is that gremlin? It's some horrible orc looking female with tits. It's from like Fallen Empires where it's like
I literally can picture the card in the artwork.
Yeah,
it's in my head. I don't know what it is.
It's an ugly orc woman. And then the other card is like this sexy barbarian girl. And what he would do is he would give the girl one of the cards. So if he liked her, he'd write his number on the in silver Sharpie on the good one. And then if he didn't, he would leave the org card. Listen.
That only works at, like, the Mox Cafe, man.
No, dude. Okay, I witnessed at least on two occasions this work gangbusters. Because the first thing out of their mouth is, what the fuck is this? It's an intro. His thing is like, oh, I'm a pro TCG player. And they're like, what is that? He's not a pro, but whatever. The funniest time though that I ever saw it was we were getting smashed at the fire hall and he slips the smoking is hot blonde, the wrong card because he's so smashed. And she doesn't flip it over. She just is looking at the back of the card like, what is this? And he's like, oh, wait, I didn't write my number on it. So he writes his number on it. And then he gives the card, the card to the girl, and she's out the door. And I see, like, she walking out the door, turns around, and gives him the death daggers. Like, just like, what the fuck? And he looks at me, and he's like, dude, she so wants me. I'm like,
she's totally into it.
He's like, look at that. They don't turn back unless they know. And he's just gone. I'm like, you know what you should do? You should go over there right now. He's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to close the deal. He comes back with a drink in his face. Oh, dude, it was the best. He got fucking awesome. Worked. Yeah, it was sweet. It's an interesting move. I mean, I get it. The whole magic thing. I
don't even have that much self-confidence.
Like, I agree with you guys. Like, you can't be shy. Your hobbies, they are what they are, I guess. If you carry yourself, like Slick says, with confidence, then who gives a shit? Like,
well, it kind of depends on the situation, too, to be honest. Like, if you're going to go fucking talk to a girl, you know, you might want to fucking hold that one back. if you feel like, you know, 3-4 lines into the conversation, like, you're on thin ice and you should probably put your best foot forward, maybe just, you know, yelling, I play a kid's card game, isn't going to be your best fucking, your best foot forward. Maybe you should talk about the other accomplishments in your life. But, you know, it's not something that you should fucking hide. Now, like, the original question, though, is, like, how do our women deal with it? And my woman deals with it because I'm good at fucking her, so I'm allowed to play magic.
No, I thought it was eating ass. It was the second rule.
Well, yeah, I mean, basically, what it really comes down to is, like, if I wasn't good at being me, then I wouldn't be able to get away with playing magic and keeping my fiance. It's one of those things she just chalks up in the fucking, all right, fine, I guess I'll let him have this category, because he's at home. And he's downstairs podcasting, or he's hanging out in the living room with my brother playing magic, not out at a bar or out in a different city playing a fucking rock show. So it's a double-edged sword for me. It's really what it comes down to.
Here's an interesting one that we can do, because it's snowing right now, actually.
Snowing like fucking crazy right now.
When has it stopped snowing, rather, is the question.
Well, when did it start for you, Ferret? Because I'm in Philly, so I'm a little east of you.
I don't know when it started, actually, because it was already snowing by the time I got up. I'm one of those lazy fucks that doesn't have to work till noon, so I was up at 11:30.
God, I hate you, Ferret.
Yeah, so no, it didn't. It didn't. Yeah, seriously. I'm in Philadelphia, and I'm in Delaware every morning by 7:30.
That's gotta be a bitch.
All right, well, check this out. So Mishka Brown asks, who can clean off? Well, I guess his real question is, which planeswalker could clean the snow off a driveway faster? And he suggests Jace because he's aligned with water, or maybe Chandra because she has a flashier style. I don't know.
Snap Tibble.
Okay, I'm gonna say snap Chandra, because I'm sorry, if her heat can't do it, she's got the titties and someone else will do it for her.
No, Chandra's getting paid too much to be in, like, A-list Hollywood movies. Tybalt is actually just shoveling driveways for money.
Yep.
He's the best at it because he's got the most experience.
And he's cheap, too. He's only 2 mana.
Exactly.
Or I'll go there and say it was Koth.
No, Koth, why?
Too soon.
Too soon.
Hey, Motika, you don't say much, but when you do, it's dead on, motherfucker.
Look, all I'm going to say is this. If there's anyone in Magic that could clean snow fast, it's got to be fucking Domrod. I mean, that guy could probably clean a line faster than anyone, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he already looks like he's a Mexican drug dealer.
He does look like a full-blown tweaker.
He does, right? Like,
you guys were talking about the precipitation snow the whole time?
No, man.
I just thought there was a blizzard in my apartment, not outside.
Oh, my God. Say hello to my little friend. No, his name is Domri Rade.
If we're gonna go there, who can clean up a fucking line faster? It's gonna be our washed up girl Nyssa.
Oh, damn.
Dude.
Nyssa's sucking dick for lines right now. She doesn't even need you to fucking present lines in front of her and be like, hey, could you get rid of this? No, Nyssa's out sucking dick for lines, so if you pop any of this snow out in front of her, she'll have a handle. She's like, I gotta be useful for something.
Polish, we love you, and this is no reflection on your comics.
Not at all. Not a time, man.
Dude, so, hey, fucking, they, should be like the next shit that happens. Like fucking, we get like our next planeswalker. Well, they got to give us a green white one first. But then when they run out of ideas, they'll just be like, you know what? Nissa and Tibble hooked up because they both sucked. They had a baby, and it's a Jund planeswalker, and it's fucking awesome.
So the Nissa. Fucking Tibble planeswalker would be one green, one red.
Wait, was Nissa green, black, or just green?
No, she was just green.
She was green.
Oh, so never mind. Wait, so fuck sakes, we don't need, for some reason.
No, hold on, go easy.
Now we have to figure this out.
Sorin, it's a three, it's a
no,
double
it's not
three,
a
so
Sorin.
Good.
No, yeah, no. Sorin would never touch.
No, dude. Tibble and Nissa are banging in their crack house, and Sorin, just the lord of fucking everything, is just filming it and putting it on YouTube. So.
I can actually see
he's
that.
Just, he's
see
just
that.
A rich fucking vampire, immoral bastard that has nothing better to do than just to film crackheads fucking.
Run a porno empire.
You know what? You can see him too. He's like, I
don't
know.
Why don't we work at Wizard?
I don't know why we don't work at Wizard. Could you imagine he's sitting like, all right, my lovelies. And he's got his pants off, but like he has a sock on it, but he's rubbing his nipples.
No,
and he's like, come on, everybody. Let's do it now.
Shitty 80s video camera in one hand.
Yes.
Going down.
And, and as they're doing it, he keeps shoving the anal toy in her ass, and she's like, I'm trying to concentrate. What are you doing? I got to get the off somehow. I can totally see that.
This is crying. Tibble's just lighting the curtains on fire by accident because he's that retarded.
She's like, don't come at my face again. I don't want to burn my eyebrows off, right?
Oh my god. This is going to be the greatest planeswalker ever.
So, oh my god,
we have to so preface this whole
so the
episode
truth,
with that safe from work.
Every
See,
episode.
This is what I love about heavy meta. We could just be randomly talking about magic for like 2 hours, and then something like this will happen.
All right. New heavy meta contest. Mail in pictures of this planeswalker, please.
Okay, so we have to give them some grounding. It's going to be a one green. Two red because Tibble comes hard, and it's gonna be a elf.
If we're involving Sorin though, like if we're gonna involve Sorin though, this thing's got to be fucking green, black, red, and white.
I don't think Sorin is gonna
no,
be.
No. We're talking old Sorin, not the.
Yo,
not
Kevin, let me ask you something. What of those two colors do you think Sorin's piece is, bro?
Oh, it's so black. That's true. It ain't white.
All right.
His asshole is white because he keeps it clean.
Yes.
But his cock is hard black.
Bleached asshole. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know he bleaches his asshole. That's
Jesus.
He's got a huge black dong and he bleaches.
Oh, trust me, I know.
Hey, have you seen the white mana symbol? That's exactly what it looks like.
Exactly. It's an anus. It's a clenched anus. Now, anyways, the getting back to this monstrosity abomination that would be birthed. It's one black. It's a little, it's a half white. It's a hybrid white, red, green. It's a green. Demon, vampire, elf. Okay? Its power and toughness is going to be 1-1.
Maddie,
it's a
planeswalker.
No. It's not a planeswalker.
I thought it was a planeswalker.
So we're just going legendary creature with this one? Like,
No, it's not.
No, I was given the spark.
It's gotta be a walker.
Yeah, no, the truth is, Nissa and fucking Tibble are barely a walker themselves, so they couldn't. Yeah, I mean, maybe there's a fraction there that.
Dude, I wonder.
Bitter Blossom is the best 2-mana planeswalker, hands down.
Yeah, no shit. Would it work if we just took fucking Nissa and Tibble, smashed them together, cut their mana cost in half, and doubled their fucking, like,
abilities?
No, not their ability. Well, no, used all of their abilities, both
their
of them.
Abilities don't do anything. That's why they're bad.
That's what I'm saying. But how much is Nissa? Nissa's like 3, right?
No, 4.
4, okay, and then fucking, so, okay. And
so it's a 6 mana costed.
No, so it's you cut that in half, it's a 3 mana costed, fucking 1 green, 1 red,
and
1
black.
And then you put all of their abilities on the same card, and you double their loyalty counters, do you think it would still even be playable?
No, it's still bad because you have to play Mrs. Chosen.
Why would it go looking? Well, you know what? It doesn't go looking for Mrs. Chosen. It goes looking for who's my real daddy. That's what it goes looking for.
Oh, well, then if you can main deck Jace the Mind Sculptor, then we're all good.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, so basically, sorry whoever asked that question. You got us side derailed.
Hey, well, you know, they could be proud of themselves, too, because they just fucking they sponsored fucking a full-blown half hour of heavy metal.
There, you know what? You win something from it. We'll figure that out. Now, here's a question.
You know what, Maddie?
Yes.
You just totally randomly chose who won the last month's prize that we were supposed to give out. How about that?
Tickets.
Done.
Photo tickets. I love
throwing.
It.
Throwing.
No. Oh, you got see, no, you know, okay.
Photo Academy?
Actually, wait a minute.
What?
I have to correct myself. Who was the person that sent in something for the cast and was the only person to send something for the Christmas cast?
Oh, I can't remember his name.
I had to correct myself because I was thinking nobody did anything, but there was the person
there
that
was
did.
One. Yeah, there was one. That,
oh man, we are so
and,
fun at this game. It's ridiculous.
they'll end up winning the November/December prize. So whoever find out who that
I'll
was.
I'll hook it up. I'll hook it
that,
up.
That way I can get their MTGO information, and the person who sent that question will figure something else for you, but. You're getting something too.
Sounds good. You're getting something too.
All right,
we're actually really good at this whole podcasting thing.
All right, here, I'll find it right now. I'll find it right now. No.
So let's see what the fuck else has happened in fucking in Magic since we were.
We're
gone.
Having a downtime tomorrow.
Yay!
Good. Tenji finishes year.
Oh yeah.
If you guys are in the limited, that was a big
fucking
deal.
Fucking insane.
I know one
fucking
year.
That's insane.
Yeah, he's an animal, man. His music on his stream sucks, but I enjoy watching it. Like he's good, and I like his commentary. But God, dude, I can't listen to like. The music is so bad.
But yeah, fuck, dude. Even if the music was bad and he was bad and he wasn't even good at Magic and like you still got to give that guy respect just right off the bat for fucking just quitting your job and fucking streaming every day for a year. That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
And no, yet,
that's nutty.
Yeah, I can. I don't know.
Hey,
well,
let me ask you a question. I've never watched his stream. Does he stream on the fucking V3 client or does he stream on the beta client?
No, he streams on V3.
Yeah, boom.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyone who's smart streams from V3.
Well, of course, but like, there you go, Wizards. This guy quit his job and streamed your game every day for a year, and guess what he did? He used the old client because the new one is garbage.
Oh, they know everybody. they know those
guys. The new
guys
one is garbage.
Like, I'm even watching, like, I was watching, so he was at the Community Cup this year, so they know he streams that. And then I was watching Dizzy stream tonight before I got on here, and Scotty Mack was in the chat because Dizzy is going to be the guest for the next A team. Spoiler alert!
Ooh.
And
who's going to be the new guest?
It's a Jan
Dizzy,
von,
Dizzy Reed
Jan
from Guns N' Roses.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think he's Swedish. Jan Vangot. He was on the Community Cup. He's a huge streamer.
Oh, Jan Vandergild.
Yeah. His name is DZYL.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I was watching his stream, and Scotty was in there like, yo, you got to come. And he was like, yo, I have to drop out from the stream because I'm going to be a guest on the A-Team.
Oh, shit.
Nice. But yeah, the streamer guys, man, they just put in so much work, dude. Like, it's insane.
Dude, that shit is hard. Like, mine and Tangent's stream, like, we barely keep up with it. And it's fucking, it's so much hard work to do that, like, once a week. Bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Doing it every day. Like, I don't know. Like, I have a job, so, like, I can't fathom that.
Fucking
like, I think I would probably get really good at Magic. Or just drink and lose a lot.
Well, that's what me and Tangent do. We just drink a lot and fucking it's not really Magic at that point. But still,
I know,
like, I mean, even trying to do that, like, one thing I've noticed about, like, podcasting, like, you know, since I started doing that stream, like, podcasting is one thing. I can sit around and I can bullshit with you guys about Magic. But I'm also having to play, like, Maddie knows playing against me on Moto. It's hard enough for me not to time out, let alone trying to entertain people and talk at the same time. And, like, you know, you got video, you got, you're playing, and you're fucking trying to talk to people. You actually have to be good at this game.
Dude, I did a fucking cube the other night, and I felt like you, Kenny, because I try to avoid cards that I don't want to play on Moto, like Palancron, because like the combo to do it in paper, you're like, yeah, I make infinite mana with Palancron, and then I storm you. And in Moto, it's like, oh well, lols, you have this clock, so I'm gonna watch this dickhead click through everything.
Right, right.
But I had Karn, and I had to start the game over like three times, and I don't play standard with Karn, so I didn't know what that was like. And it took so – like, I started a game with Broodmate Dragon in play, and it lasted, like, three turns. And I was like, Jesus Christ, this is eating up so much clock.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking ridiculous. It eats your clock. And, it, like, when me and Maddie were playing the Holiday Cube, it got down to the fact that, like, yeah, I was dicking around for a little bit at first, and then I was like, oh, shit, man. Like, I got to go. Like, I had missed a couple fucking – like, okays, because I was talking to Maddie and talking to TSG, and then I was like, oh, shit, like, my clock's getting low. You know, we're in game three, and then I was, like, blazing through as fast as I could, making fucking, you know, trying to make good decisions, but still blazing through and trying to beat, like, this fucking 2.5 minutes I have left on my clock, and Maddie just laughed at me the whole time.
Yeah, and yeah, no, that's the thing, like, and that's the thing, Kevy, too, is, like, I'm when I play Moto, usually I'm on Marcel speed.
Yeah.
So I'm not moving at 110 miles an hour. You know, I'm working through things step by step, trying to process. You know, so it's a struggle, but you gotta get it done, man.
Yeah, you gotta take your time and get there.
Well, see, and that's my thing too. Is like, you know, even like, you know, there's decks that I know. Obviously, I can play decks that I know very well a lot faster. But on top of it, you know, even if I know kind of the archetype, like if it's a deck you don't know, like the back of your hand, at least for me, it's like, okay, well, I got to think this through. I got to think about what I'm fucking dealing with, like what they could have, what they might have, like what are my lines of play and shit like that. And when I'm doing this fucking stream with Tangent, the whole fucking point is like we end up playing a different deck every fucking time. We build around a card or something like that. So I'm like, all right, I know this. I mean, I know how to play red and white. That's just fine. But I'm also having to think through, I'm like, okay, I've never really played with this card because I built around something, and now I'm trying to, like, I have no idea what Tangent's playing. If I, oh, man, do I play it like this? Do I play it like that? And the more I play like that, the more it gets me. And it was just like I was saying earlier about Cube, like learning interactions, getting those fucking, you know, just that – your basic building blocks of fucking playing Magic, what, you know, no matter what archetype you're playing, like it gets you to a point where like you can make those decisions that much faster the next time you're playing in a situation like that. You know, you can eliminate fucking options faster. And, but like, I'm terrible at this fucking game because I'm still way slow at that shit. And I really have to think through all of my lines. And then it doesn't help the fact that I'm usually drinking when I'm playing Magic. So that tends to kind of blank out half of my decisions. But it's hard, man, and I'm getting better with it. But yeah, like really fucking, you know, going through and fucking learning all of the different fucking ways you can play shit, and especially when you're playing like a limited format, it's hard, man. I thought I was pretty good at Magic, and then I realized that I'm not, because shit like that.
Now, here, Kevy, is a I didn't even know that this existed, but apparently Arizuka is telling me that there is a dual dong AMA on Reddit. What the fuck are they speaking of here?
I didn't get to read it, but fucking Jay hit me up earlier. Jay Bush just all, dude, did a fucking guy with two dicks did an AMA on Reddit. Because me and Jay had a long conversation about this a long time ago. This shit came up for some reason. I don't remember what it was, on like an A-Team episode. And me and Jay were fucking popping back and forth about how if you were going to have two dicks, like, would you rather it be like lefty-righty or uppy-downy? And like, you never go uppy-downy because you're going to end up peeing in your face. Like, oh, yeah, lefty-righty. Lefty-righty might be more uncomfortable, Like, if you got one out to each side, it might be more uncomfortable. And, I mean, you can still accomplish what you need to. Like,
and you know what? I disagree, because I've seen, you know, certain dicks with curvatures.
We've been through this. Me and Jay and the rest of Twitter have had a long conversation about this, and uppy downy is always the worst idea.
Ah, it is. It is if you point the curve in the wrong direction. But if you could have the downward point,
well, you don't get to pick on top. The curve, man.
Yeah, you do. If you had two of them, I'm sure you could train it.
Your curve, like people that if you were born with two dicks, one, you're not going to get to pick it anyway. But people that are born with curved dicks don't get to pick which way it's curved. It's just curved that way.
So you just lose out on the curve lottery that God has established for you, kind of thing.
You got what you got. But if you at least have the choice between lefty righty or uppy downy, like, you know, uppy downy is going to end up terrible. Like, it's not going to work out right. Yeah, you could probably conceal your boners better. You got to tuck this one up into your belt and you just tape that one to your leg or something. But, like, lefty-righty is always going to be a better option. Everybody that had anything to say about lefty-righty, their issue with it was like, well, I mean, if you're going to have two dicks, you're going to use both holes, right? But they're like, well, you can if it's lefty-righty. I'm like, yes, you can. You just turn sideways. But if you have uppy-downy, you're going to end up peeing in your face at some point. That's all there is to it.
I'm pretty sure, though, it comes down to, like, how much girth you have. Like, could you put the shorter one on the bottom?
Like, I don't know if you can pick that. Regardless, like, apparently somebody finally came out and said, hey, I got two dicks. Ask me anything on Reddit, and I haven't got to look at it yet. But –
This needs a whole episode, doesn't it?
When Jay brought that up, he's just all, oh my god, somebody did an AMA on Reddit with two dicks. And then he said he said hashtag lefty righty, and then he put my name at the end of it because we've had this conversation before. And then a couple different people were just like, Kevin Metal's got two dicks. That totally makes sense now.
There's no way he could be so epic with the only one dick.
And then I was just like, he didn't mean I'm the guy that did the AMA on fucking Reddit. He just meant, hey, check this out.
Hey, they never had like a light switch in their house that had like one on the top and one on the bottom.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. All I'm saying is this, is if you were lucky to have two penises and you were, you know, you lucked out with the top one curving down, the bottom one curving up, they'd balance each other out. So you'd have just shoot dicks.
Yeah, but that's like crossing the streams and you'd probably end up hurting yourself.
But
like,
aren't you less of a man though? Cause like you only have two balls. Like you got two dicks, but two balls. Like,
well, hold on a minute. Now, wait a minute. If you pee, do you pee out of both holes?
I don't know.
Control
well,
it?
I do.
How like, sick would that be?
Hey, oh my I've got two holes in my one dick. I got two holes in my one dick, and I pee out of both of them. So I'd assume you pee out of like both of them or all four.
Well, or would you just have to like pinch one to pee out the other one? That'd be a little fucking awkward, wouldn't it?
Hold on, Maddie,
get up, go take a leak and pinch the end of it and see how you feel.
Yeah, but if I had another hole.
Wait a second, hold on, because I just broke a mental ground and I don't know if anybody else for a second. So you have Prince Albert and you pee out of both holes.
Well, it drips out of the bottom hole.
Oh, that's exactly what I wanted to hear.
No, it isn't. No one wants to hear that. I'm pretty sure that that's not what everyone would.
I wanted that to be on air so bad.
I'm pretty sure, Slick. At this point, you have to come clean.
It drips out of the bottom hole.
It drips out of the bottom hole. That's going on the soundboard.
We do have a soundboard now. I mean, you have to come clean and just be honest that, you know, it was you. The dual dong thing is you. Come on.
All I'm saying is, if I had two dicks, you would have seen me on Brazzers by now, okay?
You know damn good and well, Maddie, that it couldn't possibly be me, because you know my personality well enough to know that if I had two dicks, you wouldn't be hearing about it first by some fan talking about a Reddit post. I'd have got him out in Vegas, and I'd have been running around the house screaming. Fucking
Helen Bergeau would know.
Yeah, Helen Bergeau would know I had two dicks if I had two dicks.
Why is Darth Vader looking at me so weird? No, you know. All I'm saying is this. It's his force powers. If in all honesty, Kevin, if you did have two dicks, you're very well true that, you know, when I met you in Vegas, the first thing that I shook wouldn't have been your hand, so.
Yeah, I'd have been all mad, eh? And
check
jumped
off
the rope and handed you both of my dicks and waited to see which one you grabbed first to find out what kind of person you were.
You know what's kind of cool? If you did a 2D, you could play some pretty cool sex games where you, like, you know, like, pick a hand.
I don't even think I mean, eventually you'd probably get to that point where you'd have to start playing some weird, cool sex games just to, like, you know, just to entertain yourself. Because if you got two dicks, man, your sex life's going to be interesting for a while.
If you have two dicks, dude, the struggle is so real. Like, you think about how good getting a blowjob is? Could you imagine having another dick that's not getting any love? Like,
oh, no.
The blowjob would be half as good. Like,
that's true.
Having two dicks would be a curse, dude. Like, you would have to get laid by two chicks all the time.
You bring up a good point. Like, you know, any of you out there that ever, you know, ever had whiskey dick where basically your shit's working at half power?
Yes.
Like, that's it all the time. Unless you've got two things to stick it in. normally when you have sex with a girl, you're just like, oh, sweet. Like, this is barely good because I'm working at fucking half steam here because the other one's not getting any attention. I'm sure you can alternate them if you want to. That's going to get weird for her. That's going to get weird for everybody involved. Unless you've just got some weird ass bitch that's just totally into it. She's just like, you got two dicks? That's fucking awesome.
Dude, like, what if
she's all fucked up on pills anyway, and she's going to be the type of girl that's going to fucking take you to the cleaners when all is said and done. She's all,
probably illegal.
I'm pregnant with four babies, and it's
seriously.
It's true.
You know, first of all, the chick that's banging the dude with two dicks is on a lot of oxy. And yeah. What if one of your two dicks is like a hammer and the other one is like the baby dick? Like, your baby dick is going to want love and it's not going to get any love.
It's like that movie Twins with Schwarzenegger and DeVito. Yeah. Like, from
oh my god!
you're basically just like, oh nah, I'll just tuck that one underneath and pretend it's not there.
Bruce Schwarzenegger, DeVito, the slick dagger.
All I know is I'm pretty sure I saw on a Ripley's Believe It or Not a midget with two mouth holes, and I thought that he had no use in life. But now seeing that there is a guy on Reddit who has two penises, Maddie, there could be a connection there.
Maddie, stop.
They were soulmates. They were built for each other.
I'll tell you this.
Do you realize what's going to happen when the Wolverines and the midgets combine to form the alliance?
The Wolverines. No. Listen, Let me clarify. The Wolverines love us. They come and get beer all the time. I know for a fact I have trained a generation of those damn things to drink. So they do not hate us. That is true. And I was at the mall. I took my kids to see Santa Claus, and there was a freaking two midget girls, and they were dressed up as elves, and they gave me a look. I swear to the good Lord above. They were looking at me.
They knew who you were?
I don't know if they knew who I was, but they definitely looked at me and they could smell my fear.
Midgets use Reddit too, man. Everybody's got a keyboard.
I don't post on me. I know midgets can't use keyboards. That's a known fact. Don't even go
they
there.
They're just lower to the ground and they have big letters on them.
They don't. Yeah, that's the problem. A normal size keyboard. Have you seen what a midget keyboard looks like? It's like six times the size of the fucking thing.
It's an iPhone.
How do midgets even type on iPhones? Do they just like QWERTY blurty every time they try to type? Because it's
they just use Siri.
It's all voice to text. It's all.
So Steve Jobs threw them a bone. Nice. That's
sweet. Thanks, Steve. Oh, speaking of Siri, did you guys see Marcel's fucking post on Twitter? Was it yesterday or the day before? If you have Siri on your phone.
No, what does it do?
I saw that, but iPhones are awful. So,
It was pretty fucking funny.
I went on to Siri in one of my work phones, like one of the phones that we have for testing at work, and I did it, and I laughed a lot.
Well, okay, what is it? Tell me what it is.
I believe it's July 27th, 2014. If you just ask Siri, what is July 27th, 2014, Siri comes back and she's all, it's Sunday, July 27th, 2014, opening the gates of Hades.
So that's the thing, though. So GP Boston is July 25th, which is my birthday. That's the Friday.
And then 2 days later, we're opening the gates of hell.
2 days later, we're all going to be, you know, with Cthulhu. Just hanging out.
No, but it literally, and then like it pops up on the screen too. It's in parentheses underneath the date. Like what Siri's reading to you. It's all opening the gates of Hades. So. Now, somebody told me, or like somebody on Twitter said, they're like, apparently it's like a bad translation of the Chinese New Year, but I prefer to think that like
that's a programmer having fun right there.
Yeah, no, I prefer to think that I had something to do in July and I forgot what it was, but thank God Siri was there to remind me.
That's you know what that is? That's Apple having the exact opposite problem of wizards. Is that you're paying people that are overqualified, too much money to do menial tasks. So
yeah,
it's like,
no shit.
Like, we need you to write the database link code for Siri. And it's like, oh, well, you know, I've put together entire back-end systems, so I'm going to put in Hail Satan in here, and you guys are going to pay me four times as much as I made in my last time.
That took this morning to do, so I'll go ahead and fucking just fill my afternoon with shit like this.
Yeah.
So you do realize...
The hardest part about something like that is getting it by the testers. That's how you know you have a good developer.
Yes.
He can slip an Easter egg through your code past the testers.
Yeah.
That's when you know you got good talent.
That's a good one, though. I don't even think I would have tested for that.
And yet, we still have fucking, you know, wizards doing their thing, and they can't even get their shit onto a Mac. So.
Oh, that's never going to. You know what's funny, though? If on July 27th, if Goes of the Gozerian actually does land, and Kevi is the one who is, you know, chosen to think of the form of the Destructor itself. We could be in for a world of hurt. Now,
oh, dude, you know it's going to be me with a fucking blowtorch, right? Like,
right.
You know damn good well that, like, that's it, first thing that pops into your head. I'm like, me with a blowtorch.
So it's up to you. Is it either me who you're going to get a Uncle Teddy, a 30-foot tall Uncle Teddy midget coming at you trying to rape your ass, or are you getting fucking Kevin to blowtorch? I don't know if either one is good or bad, but. Let's just hope it doesn't go down the way we think it will, folks. That's all I'm saying.
Just keep your eye on the internet, because if I'm in charge of the end of the world...
Keep your eye on the internet.
Yeah. If I'm in charge of the end of the world, you know damn good and well you'll be here the next day, because I will fuck it up. I'll be like, yes! I'm going to burn down San Diego! And then, like, everybody in San Diego dies, and the rest of the world's all, what was that?
Everybody in San Diego is... really, really drunk and woke up liking, metal bar music. They're all just like, man, you know, I feel kind of normal other than this headache and my outstanding need for guitar riffs. I don't know, like.
No, the truth is they'd all wake up with sore assholes and be like, what happened?
Given that kind of power, they all wake up with hangovers, and I've got a bunch more likes on my fucking band's Facebook page.
just a bunch of vegan girls that woke up blackout drunk that were like, damn, I feel like I ate a lot of cheeseburgers, and my throat hurts.
It's because I got two dicks in all the time in the world.
If I can sneak that title by the Man in a Prime board, I'll put that as the title of the episode.
Yo, can't wait to still, son. Yo, this is right here.
It's all right. You can just let it slide. You can let it slide through.
Come on, man.
Hey,
you realize, like, I don't know, that was so funny in Vegas when literally, Maddie, you were telling people to meet up at the same exact restaurant that KYT, Alex Hain, and John Stern were in, but neither of you guys knew that you were in the same fucking restaurant until my ass wandered in there by myself
Pretty much.
I ran into KYT first, and he came up to me and was like, yo, nice shirt. Like, what's going on? And I was like, KYT. What? Hey, like, I knew John Stern and Hayne, and I was like, I knew KYT, and I knew when he walked up to me and said something about my shirt, I was like, all right, Man and Deprived. Yeah, it's definitely KYT.
Yep. That's
and KYT. I was like, I'm looking for Maddie. And he's like, wait, Maddie's here? And I was like, I don't know, because I got lost on the street. It's 10 degrees outside. I'm sweating like a fat girl in a corduroy jumpsuit. And I can't even find the way.
And then, our communication is slightly inebriated in Vegas. It was surprising we actually hooked up at all. In all honesty. Although it's funny that once we did hook up, then it's like, oh fuck, every night you again? What the fuck's going on? Are you stalking my ass? Yeah.
Monster, I know that you and Durf were trying to have your private time, but
I know.
Wasn't gonna happen. Well, Motika and I like
four ways. Durf's like an honorary midget.
Yeah, Durf is that he just crests that midget to normal people, and I kind of can tolerate it. I'm working on it.
It's like his hair. He's got the little spiky hair, and that just brings him right over the height line, and he's a normal person.
Yeah.
So Maddie can hang out with him.
He's just like my little Bruce Lee ninja bodyguard. He's awesome, man. If I don't like someone, sick him. Kill him, Durf. Cut their legs off.
Skin him, Durf.
Yeah. And then draw it for me.
Yeah, then draw it for me.
Oh man, so I don't know, guys. I mean, what are we looking forward to in 2014 at all, magic wise?
Dude, what I'm looking forward to, like, I'm actually really interested to see fucking like what the rest of the Theros block brings in. I'd like to get back into standard, but right now it's just kind of stale for me. So, you know, it doesn't take long. I'm like, oh, Theros is here. Okay, I'm done with standard. And that was it. I'm back to modern and fucking, and now I can't stop playing Cube. But, I can't wait to see what, like, Theros ends up bringing. And then, I don't know.
Maybe here's an interesting question I asked TFG, and, he wasn't quite sure, but I'm like, if we are getting demigods and Born of the Gods, obviously a demigod can't be as powerful as a real god. So are we going to get like less casting costs, less powerful hybrid kind of gods where,
no,
you know, you don't think so? Or they're going to be like super expensive 6 mana costing pieces of garbage. No. We don't
care. I think
they're going to be around the same mana cost. And I think that their effects are going to be, on the whole, they're going to be slightly worse, but there are going to be a couple of the demigods that will be far better than like a Nylea or a Helion. Right. I think that 3-7 ratio or a 2-8 ratio, they'll be like overpowered. But the majority of them are going to be lower than the ones that we have now.
I look at it this way. Like, we got the guild mages, and they were pretty balanced. I feel they're going to do something like that. My gut feeling is devotion has got to get pushed because it's the core mechanic of the block. So wait, listen to this call. Tell me if you think this is cool. So you get, like, a red-green god, demigod, and then it has an activated ability, but that's only active when you have devotion of that color. So, for instance, it's like a 2-2 indestructible god, demigod, and then if you have devotion to red equals this, it triggers an ability. And then
but you got to realize that, like, Marrow confirmed that they're mythic.
Right.
So that means, like, they're not, like, if it would be one thing if you were like, yeah, the demigods are coming and they're going to be
rares. The demigods are
mythic, though.
But they can't be, okay. How can demigods be better than the gods? They can't.
I understand what you're saying, but what I'm trying to say is that you're not going to see that big of a difference.
Maybe.
You're not going to see that big of a difference
expecting. What do you guys think about the likelihood of them bringing back hybrid mana for the demigods?
Ooh, that's sick, because it plays into the vote. If they did that, like, imagine that. Hybrid red-green, and two.
Yeah.
I drop that, and now all of a sudden maybe Furfuros is activated, or Nylea.
Kevin, I think that's a really good idea.
They're not. is powerful.
It's a really good idea if they didn't just do that in Ravnica. Like, there's no way they do hybrid two blocks in a row. Like, that's totally...
That's true.
But I think that if they did do that, that would have been sweet. 100%. That's an awesome idea. But I don't think they'll do it two blocks.
They might have something like when they come into play, choose one of their two colors, and then their casting cost counts as devotion to that color.
I think that's too complicated for a demigod. Like, I honestly think, like, if they are the mythics, then what are they doing? 10? So all the mythics are going to be demigods?
Well, that's what I'm saying to you, Maddie.
But you got Kiora already, so you can't have 10.
Well, first of all the demigods aren't going to come in the next set.
Oh, we're getting 5-5 split?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what the split is going to be, but it can't be all in one. And the other thing, too, is that, like, even if they're mythic rares, like, unless – and I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, I love the company, but it – unless they want to set themselves up for failure, because you put the original gods at mythic rare and you're putting the demigods at mythic rare,
you're going to have to make it
either a step up or close to equal, or you're just going to have this big bang at the front of the block, and then people are going to be like, wow, Theros was way better. Like, they have to bring the pain.
No, they don't, man. Dragon's Maze? We got fucking a bunch of mythic rares that no one gives a fuck about. I don't think they learned. They don't fucking learn. They're idiots.
After Dragon's Maze back to back, those two flops, you don't think they learned anything? You gotta give some credit, man.
They're printing cards for casuals. Casuals love Dragon Maze. Anyways, look, here's the way I look at it like this. We may get one or two demigods that are cast and cost effective where you can play them on curve, but you could be right that they're going to be somewhat like the god, but, you know, you've seen the god, you get the mechanic. The demigod should be slightly more complex because you know the mechanic of the block and it's the evolution of it. I totally see a dual hybrid, you know, two devotion activations, because now they've got everyone playing these monocolored decks. They do want the format to evolve and standard. So if you gave demigods that you can choose either one, people are going to start to play more dual color decks, which then
that would definitely be a plus. Because I was going to say, if I get, you know, devotion is the mechanic of this block, but you don't want to push that too far, because, like, right now in standard, devotion is, like, you know, mono blue and mono black are two of the top standard decks.
I don't think they saw that coming.
You don't want to go that fucking far into devotion. Oh, well, I'm not saying they saw it coming, but I'm not also not saying that.
Oh, I know they saw it coming.
They can't fucking, you know, last minute make some changes. I know that they wanted to push the devotion thing because we just came out of the Ravnica block. We just came out of, like, the land of multicolored, and so they're like, all right, let's get back a little more to the fucking multicolored type shit. I don't think they saw it coming as far as it is. I don't think that they expected that, like, mono blue and mono black were going to be the contenders in the fucking standard metagame, period.
I know that I would hope that all three of you listen to the Smooth Brothers first podcast.
Shout out to those motherfuckers.
Oh, of course, man. Marcel and Tyrone are both heroes. And they talked about the same kind of thing, man. It's just like they, you know, it doesn't like the format that you're playing in, like, it doesn't, it's not gonna fucking —
you're so drunk right now you can't even fucking make a sentence, you drunk piece of shit. You're not even making
it's
sense
so
right now.
Good. Don't worry about it, man. It's real cold outside.
it's like antifreeze, man. It's preventing our bones from freezing.
No, I swear to God, it's not that I'm drunk, it's the short term memory loss. But they said something that was relevant to something that you were just talking about. Matters, and Marcel and Tyrone are awesome, and fuck everybody.
Slick, I gotta say, if I could just say that line every time I get lost, and just say, you know what, there was something relevant you guys said, okay, and leave it at that. One, this podcast would go a lot more smoothly, and two, this podcast probably would have ended a long time ago.
Well, thank you. At least, well, that's the thing though, because, like, Maddie called me out, and I realized, I was on this train of thought, and now I'm lost in the desert.
Wow, you just got all, like, god-like echoey.
Yeah, that was
like
god-like
and
echoey. Was,
I might have unmuted himself, and now I'm going through two mics.
Oh, my God, you're scaring me, dude.
That was fucking awesome.
Are we back to normal now?
Whew, yeah,
that was cool. All right, good, yeah.
It's fucking crazy. So every time you want to, like, make a serious point, you just fucking unmute Motika's microphone.
Anyways, fair. What were you saying about the devotion?
No, I was reminding Jagger that we were talking about devotion and how the devs seen that there's no way that the devs could not have seen the deck. So, you know, development knew that those were going to be prominent. Oh,
we know
oh, no,
they
but
made
that,
the
that was
decks.
The whole thing, though. Like they okay, so now
see,
I got
now
I
remember,
now I got it,
reminded
I got
him.
It, you jogged it. So Tyrone and Marcel were talking about the fact that, you know, Tyrone said that he was really into the fact that.
You sure you got it?
Yeah, I got it. We came from this huge multiplayer block or multicolor block, and now we're in monocolor decks, but the plan is that they cause this huge abrupt shift, and then in the later in the block, they bring in the multicolor elements that allow you to fuse.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like,
no,
the demigods.
I get that. Like, the demigods are about to be multicolored of some sort, whether it be like, you know, of course,
they
like
have
you said,
to be multicolored.
Like Slick, my, you know, obviously my thought of like hybrid mana would be great, but it wouldn't work. It wouldn't be good because they just fucking did that. But whether, you know, it be Maddie's, like, you know, something similar to Maddie's idea of like a choice between like devotion. But they're going to, like, I would bet fucking, you know, damn near anything on the fact that these demigods are going to be multicolored. We're going to fucking head back that way. All right.
So we're going to wrap this cast up on this. Now, Motika, I just want you to know, I bought 45,000 trait doctorings on MTGO, so I hope that because last
good,
time he,
good.
he gave me that financial tip, so I was like, damn, I'm picking these up. But do not pick those up, they're horrible. What card do we believe that's gonna do something when we start to see Born of the God previews? I'm gonna chintz out and I'm gonna say Nyxos. Shrine of Nyxos, I'm just saying, guys, like that card
Maddie,
is so
Maddie,
good.
Come, that is the cop out of no. cop outs.
Hey man, Kevin Smith wanted
Mutavault
me for that.
Real well. Mutavault's great. It's awesome. It'll be good. It'll be good when other cards come out.
I'll tell you what.
You know what? Mutavault was a great call when it was still $7. But come on now.
Yeah, Mutavault's actually 27 tickets, and I don't think it's going any higher than that.
I'm not talking about finance. Mutavault's is good. It's good.
Yeah, cool.
This shit is good. It's going to be good when the next cards come out, and it'll be good when it's in standard.
I was saying financial-wise. Nyxos is like he's like a $1.90 to two tickets, and I think that card is going to at least, if we get a couple of good previews, be $4. So.
Steam Augury.
Yeah.
Steam Augury.
You know what's funny? I had all the hype for it, and then I played it a couple times, and I'm like, this sucks ass. I totally don't want that card in any deck, so.
No, I don't know. I mean, the truth is that the way they've structured this set is so awesome, and the way they're doing it is great, and they're not letting us have any insight. Like, none of us have any idea where the block's going to go. Like, we know that, like, the end of it is Journey to Nyx, and it's obviously
going
to be, like, you
We're
go from hero realm to, like, the god realm or whatever. But, you know, the intricacies of the set are so hidden, and there's not, like, a big push to the press as, like, the Ravnica block where they had, like, the comics and the storyline articles and everything. Like, it's been way more hush hush. So I think from the player base, it's awesome because I know there's demigods and I know there's a Springleaf drum and I have no fucking clue what else is going to come out of the set. And like, it's all, like, I'm pretty sure Xenagos is a god and that's it. Like, I don't know what else is going to happen.
You know what?
And
here's an interesting one. So if you think about Elspeth, who's the character for the block, so she hits Theros. Is Elspeth born of the gods? Does she have godly blood in her? And will she die and journey to Nyx to maybe save Venser? Oh.
First of all, Vents is not worth saving.
Save Koth. Fuck that, save Koth.
Seriously, save Koth, man.
Nah, man.
Show me brother the back.
Hey, oh yeah, on a side note, Slick, you and I, we're gonna start a fucking t-shirt campaign. Save Koth.
Save Koth.
I thought you two would be already on, Kevy. Where are you drawing your stick drawing of the demon vampire elf hybrid abomination child? I want to see that as of tomorrow morning.
You know I'm gonna fucking post it. It's just gonna be a stick figure with two dicks.
That's you know what?
Because it's Kevy, yeah, it Kevy, has to
just,
be.
Kevy, just do that for my Kevied avatar. Just do like a beer glass and two dicks, and I'll put that as my AVI. I'll put that as
I love it.
Oh my god, Kevy! No, seriously, wow. I do need artwork for the banner. Get on it. Send it to me by the morning. You can do whatever you want. KYT.
So I assume I'm gonna get another email from KYT saying, "Do you think this is appropriate for the website?"
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah.
This time I'm not gonna tell him. We're just posting.
You're definitely gonna get one of those emails.
Anyway, my call is Swan Song.
$0.05. No, it's 15 cents right now.
Oh no.
Yeah, I think that one will probably be able to go up eventually here.
That thing bounces around like 5 to 10 cents. So yeah, that's a good one if you want to grab it. The other one too that people keep talking about is Fleece Mainline. How can that thing be like 50 cents? That card's silly. The
card's so good.
Fleece Mainline is not. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we're all just naive. Like I don't know. Like I go back and forth with that card. Like it's so good. Like
it's a good card.
It shouldn't be 50 cents, but. Unless it sees a standard deck, there's not a chance it gets over a dollar, and that's messed up.
Well, you know what someone said? They're like, "Hey, Snapcaster Mage online like can barely crack five tickets, and well, it's see, a modern that, playable that, card." I'm like, "Yeah."
But it's like the thing with Fleece Mainline is there's just like nothing real in green and white right now. I mean, like you've got to look.
There's an incredible deck, Voice of Resurgence, the Token Worm, Avenue of the Worm, Boonsader. It's a good deck. It just can't be mono black.
No, it can't be decks that are doing unfair things. Like you're doing fair things.
In the standard metagame, there's not a green white deck that's worth a fuck. Like if the green white deck that you're talking about, like if that places at all in some dailies, that's like fucking luck. Like they got through the right rounds. Like that deck does not like actually like doesn't stand the test of the metagame.
They're playing fair. You can't play.
You know
fair.
What? Before,
that's not to say that with this, you know, when this shift comes, when we get the new set, that's not to say that like everything doesn't shake up and mono black and mono blue are not fucking the huge fucking tits and like there's nothing else that can be done. I'm not saying fucking a green white deck is not viable. I'm just saying that right now it's not going to win tournaments consistently.
No, it needs massive help. I agree.
And so there's no reason that like fucking like Fleece Mainline should be worth anything right now. But it's a good fucking card. So when things shake up and you actually get multicolored decks like actually happening again, then that might change drastically. I think Fleece Mainline is actually not a bad call at all because we know that we're going to have multicolored decks again through this block.
And I think, you know, so, like when they – well, and yeah, when Ravnica rotates out and they announce that we're going to return to the Weatherlight Saga, it's, you know, it's going to go over really well. So, you know, spoiler alert.
Bad memories, Weatherlight.
No, the Weatherlight Saga is different from the set Weatherlight, okay?
This is true.
I don't know the difference. What's Innistrad?
Well, what's Innistrad? There's vampires and there's Karn, and it all ends up in a sick orgy that produces Mirrodin, and then Phyrexia takes over.
And then poor Kafka.
Phyrexia is the magic...
There's a guy named Gerard that's videotaping everything, and he's really creepy.
Gerard is the creepiest, dirtiest fucking Geno ever, man. Oh.
And the secretary's name is Sisse.
What the fuck?
Who names a kid Sissy? Hey, we're gonna name you Sissy. Thanks, Dad.
Well, there were people in R&D that were like, oh, you know, we should make a female character named Sisse, and it'll sell.
And you get the built-in midget with Squee.
So what I'm understanding here is, like, Gerard Way, the singer from My Chemical Romance, is a vampire who he's always wanted to be, and he's holding a video camera, and he's got an assistant named Sissy.
Yes.
Yes. That's what magic was in the late 90s.
God damn.
And we're just not mentioning what Targoth does.
Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
I don't want to know, dude. Maybe putting a little too much thought into this.
We're putting more thought into this than they put into those blocks on those days.
So. We're putting more thought into this than they did in the Magic UI.
No, come on. Now, Kevy, I have been looking for help for this poor, poor AMA double dong dude. And I've heard that there are some really good surgeons.
There's this city that has these fucking great plastic surgeons.
Oh, really?
One of those dicks from his fucking, you know, from his dong-ish area. And it should put one of them on his wrist, on his forehead. You can put it anywhere. Like, the surgeons in that town.
It's even better live, folks.
You're telling me if they did cut it off and then sew it on his forehead, what was his response be?
Yeah, well, if they cut it off and sew it on his forehead, it really depends on, like, what he, you know, what he does with it. He might just be like, oh, thank you, San Diego.
I
it might go the other way. And for this, I'd like fucking Slick to just fucking unmute Motika's microphone.
Yeah, what do you need?
And I like him to fucking get his echo effect.
His
that he
god
has,
voice.
His god voice, and just give us the fucking line.
Well, now
go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Post-edited that effect in. That was insane.
And he even sounds like fucking Macho Man Randy Savage while he's doing it.
Slim Jims I had tonight, brother. Yeah, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
The toilet's gonna be fucking me tonight, boy.
The best wrestler ever though was Ric Flair.
No, the best wrestler ever was the best wrestler ever was fucking Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Come on.
Ric Flair, man.
Hacksaw was the shit.
That's true. Actually, you gotta. No one struts like Flair. So.
Oh, dude, he would slap you in the titty and be like, "Woo! I am Taylor Made from head to toe."
I've been trying my damnedest to be like, you know, to get into this fucking beer scene like you are, and I think I'm built for liquor, man. This
my liver rejects beer.
Yeah, this self-righteous fucking ale that I was drinking on,
yeah,
got just past the neck. And then it's still sitting there. Because for fuck's sakes, man, it tastes like cold coffee with fucking vodka.
No, like what? That's what I'm like. You need to drink beer with me where I can pick the beer.
Yes.
And
makes a difference.
And then what's going on in my mouth right now.
You'll suck his dick in a whole new way.
As long as we're at like a bar and grill that's got cheeseburgers and
fucking. I can wash it down. It's all good.
I'll wash it down with
I'm so used to eating my own jizz after I suck my own dick. You know, what somebody else is going to taste like?
Yeah, that's a whole different story, man. I'm not into it.
And with that, Mark Rosewater, we can't wait to have you on the show. Come on and sing my song now.